Do you think that if I just, like, do this every now and then, it's going to subliminally make people think of the fact that I have food here and they're going to get really annoyed?
No, that just sounds annoying. There's no food involved with that. That's just like you're doing dishes.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to WTF at TFW, where I've, you know what, I'm just going to come out with it. I got Pizza Pops chilling out with me here. Pillsbury Pizza Pops, because I'm a healthy person. I just wanted you all to know that. I'm healthily joined today by Aaron.
What the heck is a pizza pop? Is it like a pops, like the push pops, where you have the sherbet in the sleeve and you just like keep pushing pizza flavored sherbet into your face?
Oh, that'd be sick. Just like this cylinder full of like tomato sauce and chunky meat. Like,
You're gonna have the crust in there too, but you can't get any slices, so that'd be weird.
Oh. You weren't even there!
But I've heard the story four different ways.
I'm also very proud of you. I thought you were going to recycle your pre-recording joke of it being a frozen pizza. Proud.
I'm a man of many talents and many ways to come up with weird ideas of what the hell a pizza pop is.
I was just listening to that episode of the high-end toy podcast. That's strange. Also here with us today is Omegas Prime,
who has actual pizza in unpop form.
You should just roll it up. To do that slob thing everyone says they're gonna do but doesn't do, where you just like take a slice of pizza, you just roll it up like a Pillsbury strip of cookie dough, just chomp into that thing.
No, I'm sure I'll do that later in my stomach anyway.
We're here to talk to you today about Transformers, ladies and gentlemen. Not food, although it may come up because that seems to just be on my mind. We're gonna open up with an inspiring story of your future and where you might go and who you could become. Because Hasbro is hiring a senior director, global brand marketing and strategy, for Transformers. And I spent the entire day that we got this piece of news trying to remember if we had already met a senior director of global brand marketing and strategy for Transformers, and if that was one of the guys that we've always seen at the Hasbro panels who we might not see again, but I cannot remember.
What was Brian Goldner? Was he, like, vice president?
Boys Toys? I want to say yeah. I don't think he was just Transformers.
So then what did Aaron Archer end up going to?
Aaron Archer was lead Boys Toys, I think.
Okay.
Possibly design so lead, if is, not just lead.
So this is senior director.
This is Transformers specific, which is the...
I feel like crap because I know two or three of the other faces that I see every year at BotCon. Yeah. And I feel bad because I don't remember their names because it's like, hey, look, it's Aaron Archer who's become like the Elvis or whatever, one of the faces and the names. And then it's like, hey, yeah, it's all these other guys that really do all the other work, and we're going to introduce them. And everybody's like, oh, Aaron. And you end up with dudes that, you know, don't get the limelight. And
once
one of them comes out of the shadows of Eric Siebenhaler, he ends up going to Star Wars.
Yeah, and then we had Greg Lombardo. He goes to Play-Doh.
Yeah.
Bill Rawley's still there, and we've all gotten to know Bill Rawley a lot better, so that's helpful. But I was wondering if this was another one of those guys we've always seen who was getting shuffled around like Eric and Aaron were, and Greg. But, I cannot recall, and I haven't seen in the, like, top four replies I looked at if anyone actually said if that was somebody we've seen before, but I've seen a lot of people going like, oh man, I want that job.
This is like a marketing director type of job. This is going to be, you're going to hate Transformers and everything to do with it, because every day you have to go out and push it and sell it and talk to Walmart and then talk to Target.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, you're going to be the guy who has to deal with the retailers.
Talk to Marshalls. And why are we trying to sell Transformers to Marshalls? I don't know, but they were the next one on the list.
Talking to the retailers is annoying enough when you have to buy something from them, let alone when you have to sell them on something.
Is this going to be the guy who has to deal with the dudes for like, well, why do we want a new Transformers brand?
Look, it has Bumblebee. Kids love Bumblebee. Buy the friggin' Bumblebee. Oh, you want a case of Bumblebees? Okay, crap.
Let me see up front. I don't know the entire job description of a director of global brand marketing and strategy?
The senior director of brand marketing will serve as a key business partner to inspire and drive innovative marketing strategies across our mega band Transformers. He/she will partner with internal and external resources to develop and execute integrated marketing programs that ensure consistency, growth, and relevance across the game's organization. Additional responsibilities will include a whole list of things. Develop extensive category plans for the brand, assist with analysis of products, brand, category performance, develop primary communication vehicles and advertising, PR, online, etc. Contribute to the overall entertainment and licensing strategy of the brand through development of successful relationships with internal design staff and external providers. Provide timely and consistent communication of brand activity and key information to internal business partners. Act as point person / key liaison on all licensing related business matters.
Oh, key liaison, okay.
Overseas regional merchandising activities relative to category plan, innovate the brand across multiple touch points, digital, creative, retail, advertising, and global.
This is a cohesive and actionable voice.
Yeah. This is a voice.
A big time voice. Someone who has to be able to go in there and, because when they said key point and liaison, that made me think, okay, this is the person who's probably going to have to speak to suits in a very unfun way. This is going to be the guy
at the toy fair. That's like the retailer's toy fair.
Yeah.
That's going to be one of the people that's at the other meetings that the dark toy fair.
Well, I bet you guys are excited to apply for this job.
Yeah. Education, experience, and critical skills required. Bachelor's degree in marketing, advertising, or related field. And an MBA or advanced degree highly desirable.
I'm not going to lie. I actually kind of like pitching stuff, so I would potentially have a fulfilling time doing this kind of work. I'm certainly not qualified.
You like pitching stuff. I hadn't guessed.
Yeah. You know what?
Yeah.
I like talking. but this is kind of cool. I mean, and it's neat that this is getting a lot of people interested in some of the processes at Hasbro. I mean, there's a dude who posted a reply going like, they need to clean house at oh God, they need to clean house at Hasbro. Everyone's who's been in a position of authority for the last 7 years. And it's like, dude, that happened over the last 2 years.
Yeah. Plus, it's not like it's something that, I mean, Transformers has been doing good, so I don't think that corporate needs to, air quotes, clean house to get that riffraff out of there.
And even if you want them to clean house, they already have.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of the people have been moving and shifting around, and
yeah.
I mean, okay, maybe that person doesn't like the movie aesthetic, which seems to be a complaint that people have. I can understand.
That house has already been cleaned.
I don't disagree, but a good number of those people are gone, and it's given us the money for Animated and Prime, those horrible shows that nobody likes or the toys thereof. So,
yep, this is basically
what the heck are they doing?
Part of the job description for this is be sure to quash the love of G1.
Yeah.
And ruin some childhoods.
That's,
yep. That's what we're going for here. But no, I think it would be cool if somebody out of the internet fandom did make it in there, like, you know, somebody competent, not just like a guy from the internet, but it would be neat if we found out like 2 years later, some guy like at a panel, he's like, by the way, I did post it some message boards. I can't tell you who I was, but I did get the job because of all the front page news postings about this. At the same time, it's far more highly likely that somebody who has experience working in toys as a director of global brand marketing and strategy will probably get the job. But let's hope it's somebody who has some kind of a love for the franchise, because those do seem to be the people who tend to get hired on Transformers are folks who, most of the time, it's folks who have some kind of ingrained affection for transforming robots, which I'm sure is helpful.
I think the odds of being like, Transformers, that stuff sucks, they're probably not going to put you on the Transformers brand.
It's not going to be like that fun story we were talking about a couple months back about when Marvel made their Marvel Studios group or whatever back in like the 80s, and it was run by somebody who thought comics sucked.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't think that happens anymore. Like, a lot of people made a great point in the thread that a lot of the folks who grew up in the 80s with Transformers are now the people who are in the section of the job market that would be working on Transformers.
Right.
So, looks cool. I don't know. I thought it was neat also that this made the front page, because this is the kind of thing that I think is totally cool for the front page. That that, you know, 5 years ago wouldn't have been mentioned on the front page, I don't think.
Yeah, but then somebody at IT is going to see this odd spike in people looking at job listings and all of these improper candidates and be like, last time we left something external.
Like, yeah, there is somebody here who says, like, if I weren't a teenager, I could get this job. And it's like, I don't know.
It'd work like the sales threads. Like, okay, if you could just, like, hold this for, like, 7 years, I'll apply.
I mean, if you're a teenager, you might be qualified enough to get this job. But the thing that I have heard about this level of corporate is they also really value experience.
Yeah, that's down at the bottom of it. It had like have 8 years of experience in the brand and Mari 8+ years of brand strategy / marketing experience and forward thinking consumer organization, preferably supporting a global brand. So after you've got your bachelor's and then 8+ years of strategy, you're looking at 12 years of aiming at this job. Kind of this is. Especially in today's global job place, air quotes, goofy economy, yay, politics. They're wanting somebody that's experienced. They're not going to get that rough around the edges guy. They're going to go for the guy that knows what he's doing.
But you know what? This kind of thing should inspire you to pursue and take up as much practical experience as you can. Because I have always been a fan of the idea that practical experience is extremely valuable. Go out there. Get in the job market. If you want to become a marketing person, get you some marketing experience and go forth. By the way, my apologies to people in the thread whose posts I have totally been paraphrasing for the sake of my own entertainment. I apologize. Because I love you. Any other thoughts on this? Sure, neither of you guys want to apply for this? Omegas, you want to become a senior director?
They didn't answer my last application.
What were you trying to become?
Like janitor?
Oh, practical experience. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Do you have 8 years of toilet unclogging?
8 years janitorial experience. Then they just go like, why are you still working this now? A friend of mine, his dad has climbed the ladder of there is a ladder in janitoring. I learned while I was in high school. A friend of mine had a dad who climbed the ladder of janitoring at a local university. And apparently it is quite a. Like if it is something you want to do, it can be an extremely solid and like they'll keep you on if you have the experience kind of thing. That was just my show of love for janitors.
I was trying to come up with something humorous and everything was sounding very not humorous in my head, and I thought, hey, I'll not insult the people that do actually, you know, the hardworking people for sure. But I was trying to come up with that cutthroat world of. Toilet plunging, and then you I'm mean, like, no, that sounds horrible, and then I just said it, so it still seems horrible. But...
You mean you considered the ramifications of a joke and decided against saying it?
And then
oh
said
Oh my
it.
God. And you're on the internet?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. What am I doing?
I'm making a joke about something that happened on Twitter. Anyway, let's move along to new picture picks. And I'm going to start with Omegas and ask you what your chosen image is from the images available to us.
Man, this was a struggle this week because so much of this is...
Hey, man, Crazy Devi is making new legs that are a little bit different from their other legs. Only $36, man!
Right, a $36 groin. That's just what I wanted. I prefer to go with TFC Toys offering the World War II Power Core combiner limbs.
I'm so happy those are still getting photos being made of them, meaning they're probably still happening.
From all the early shots, I was so worried that these would be, you know, okay, you get two tanks and two jets that look exactly the same. So they're going the extra mile. They're individualized. Supposedly have robot modes, though. I don't recall seeing pictures of those.
Their picture briefly. Spread doesn't include. Do they?
I thought we saw pictures of them. Just
We saw CG art.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Sorry. That's it. Yeah.
And the CG art makes it look like they're like heavy redeco or heavy remolds.
Well, they
where it's
do
not like they have unique transformation schemes.
Well, they do have some similar. There are some similar engineering going on here. You know, I can see hinges in the tanks. One's farther back than the other. Yeah. You know, the the Jetson arm modes are a little different. There's different molding on both, but they still transform the same.
I'm going to come clean. I didn't realize that those were different tanks and jets until you guys just brought up all the little differences. That actually makes me a lot happier about this picture.
Yeah, well, you can see, like, the airplanes, one is a quad prop, the other's a six prop.
I'm sorry, Mr. Airplane Expert. I didn't notice.
Yeah.
Foreshadowing.
Do you guys see also in the second picture the red-colored prototype of the airplanes?
I see those.
Yeah. I'm really interested in these.
This is what I wanted Power Core Limbs to be in the first place. I mean, on a cost level, I'm sure Hasbro found it impractical, but these look so much better than spring-loaded auto-forming limbs, and they're going to be so much more involved as their own toys.
Yeah, the only rough thing I have is the fact that I don't know where my Power Core guys are now. It's been too long, and I think I may have sold off a chunk of them.
I keep mine in a Power Core box. That's how I know where my Power Cores are. Maybe
mine
I'm just
a
crazy
Ziploc somewhere.
Crazy organized person. But I was worried these might not happen due to a lack of interest, and I really am glad they're still working on these, because I loved Power Core for all of its faults. By the end, especially with the certain torso they're showing here, the tank guy, whose name I entirely forgot, Heavy Tread. Heavy Tread was a great little toy and formed an awesome torso. Such a good torso that it kind of even outshone any limbs you could stick onto it.
Right.
And it made any limbs you stuck onto it look great. And so that's a great thing to use as the prototype for these things. I'm going to probably try to get a hold of these if they come out. Probably at a convention or something, because I think Power Core ended on such a high note. Not like, oh man, these are the best toys ever, but a, wow, if this line continued, it would get so much better. So I want to support pursuing that on a fan level.
Mm-hmm. It just, which one is it, the Not Fallen, that's coming out with Power Core sockets and pegs on it?
Who's doing this? Is that Mastermind or Make Toy?
I'm actually not sure offhand.
So I don't think it was related to this project, and I'm really sure it wasn't TFC, but now I'm not sure.
It's just going to be really weird to be able to combine third-party figures at this point.
Yeah.
Also,
well, we already do that with everything that stacks on top of City Commander.
I don't know if I'm the only one who's seeing this, but do you guys think the wrist and ankle attachment points are Power Core attachment points? They kind of look like Power Core pegs to me.
From the back of the hand, it looks like it might be.
Wouldn't it be crazy if you could start stacking these things to give them like really long limbs?
Recursive limbs?
Yeah. You can see it in the back of the hand. It slides. Yeah. It doesn't peg on. It slides on to the actual Power Core socket.
Maybe it's not a Power Core peg, but it looks like... I mean, if it is, that would be such a cool, like, just really weird but cool thing to throw in of like, hey, guess what? You know, if you want to stick two arms together to make really long arms or two tanks to make really long legs, by all means.
You want to say this has gorilla arms? You want to say it looks like gorilla arms?
Yeah,
bam,
boom.
Three of them. Now it's really got gorilla arms. He's walking on the knuckles.
Also, I just realized that by doing that, that means that you could use the tanks possibly as arms and vice versa. Maybe? I don't know.
That might be possible. If those, you know, if those Power Core sockets can move down, though, I'm not seeing the engineering for it.
Yeah, I'm looking at that bottom picture. You can see the tanks don't have any way of swiveling. Yeah. And I just realized that the Power Core sockets are in the nose cones on the jets. So I don't think you can do that. Nonetheless, that's still, I think this thing is something that needs to happen. And
now, the funnier thing is going to be when people get these sets, they're going to, the first photos you'll see is a set like Heavy Tread, and they won't, they'll bypass the actual figures themselves and just put the arms and the legs on the stumps of Heavy Tread.
Yeah. Just give him little hands hanging off of his shoulders.
Exactly.
Yeah. Look, it's a protoform malfunction, all right? I'm really embarrassed about it.
I don't have forearms. Don't mock me. This thing is cool.
Invented Transformer Dwarfs.
So this picture came off of the Weibo page. Is that like a Facebook-style thing? I'm just wondering if there's any other information about this yet. It doesn't look like it.
The link says Weibo page of John Zhang.
Okay.
And it's a busted link in Chinese.
Oh, here we go. Somebody actually did post the CG renderings of the The four vehicles. Yeah, I didn't realize that was in the thread.
What we were talking about.
I remember seeing these before, but I'm glad that they're so readily available. I forgot that the tank dudes totally have stars and crosses and stuff on their chest. Okay, yeah, these are cool. So I'm guessing you guys are kind of interested in these too. Think you might go for them.
I don't know if I'd go for them at this point. Had they hit right after Power Core, the odds would have been better. But now we're getting away from it. I mean, I guess one of Walmart's Black Friday specials was a Power Core pack, so they're still technically in the stream. But at this point, I have all of the Power Cores and have sold some, so.
Well, you have Heavy Tread still, curve. Right? You must still have Heavy Tread.
I think so.
Don't tell me you sold Heavy Tread, because then you can just get these for Heavy Tread, and you'll have the most boss maybe. Heavy Tread.
I think I still do have Heavy Tread, but I don't know. That was,
I never
was a crazy convention of getting rid of stuff.
I never even I needed saw money. Heavy Tread.
Omegas, you've got to check out, where are those Power Core packs? Walmart?
Walmart, yeah. And Ross got in some, too.
Okay, because I heard about them, and it sounds like the price on them is really good, and it sounds like, not only that, but the 5-packs are from the final 5-pack wave of, like, Dino Pope and Constructicon Man and the Offensive One. So they're the best 5-packs as well.
I don't recall seeing anyone finding a Heavy Tread, though.
I could have sworn someone took a picture. I think Pia on his Twitter took a picture of a Heavy Tread. It must be out there somewhere. Go and take a look, because the value on them, too, was what, like $20?
Less than that.
It was like 15 for one of the 5-packs and one of the 2-packs, wasn't it?
Yeah, Omegas, I think you should go look for a Heavy. That should be your next hunt while you're waiting for Prime Toys. Go and see if you can find a Heavy Tread stuck to a good 5-pack.
I need a new Dino Pope anyway.
Exactly. Go for it. Moving on from there. Aaron, what is your new picture pick?
My new picture pick got taken. So instead, I'm going to go for the other one of the in-hand pictures of the Black Rodimus Convoy.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Continue.
It's no good. The Black and Turquoise and purple do not get it for me.
You're whatsoever. Crazy, because those look awesome to me, and now I really want it.
Yeah, well, I think the other part that kicks around is I know what I paid for the normal one.
Oh, I do too.
And there's no way I would pay another $200+.
Oh, me neither. Nonetheless, I really want it. I just don't want to pay for it.
If it was something where I could get just the Rodimus, like if Toys R Us was doing this at the $52 price now that you can get Rodimus Convoy at ToysRUs.com last time I looked, go check yourself. I might buy that because, oh my gosh, but not for the, what does their paperwork call it? The Destron Doppelganger Black Rodimus Convoy. No.
I just love these colors so much. I need to eventually somehow get a hold of this figure. The colors are too good.
I must have some sort of odd color blindness in, because to me it looks like crap.
Well, it's here's the thing. I really like the color blue, and I really like cold palettes. So this thing is like the coldest blue purple turquoise palette I've seen in a while. So it's like it's so up my color alley, I don't even care that the top of his thighs are turquoise while the middle of his thighs are dark gray. Translucent purple windshields and stuff. This dude is just like, he's a palette up my alley. I can't really explain it outside of the fact that I like blue, purple, and cold color palettes. But,
man.
Omegas! We're 1-1 here. Who are you siding with? Do you dig this, or are you going to be an Aaron?
I'm unfortunately in the mid ground a bit here, because
there is no choose mid a side.
You have to choose a side. There's no mid ground. I'm going to try and be a populist. Pick a side.
Populist.
Populist. Yes, populist.
I remember that game. No.
Yes.
I actually do like the color palette on this thing.
So, you're dead to me. You're out of the will.
I don't I don't get your heavy tread now, do I?
Nope.
You know what's great about this, too? His gun turret is, like, inexplicably blue. The whole stem of the gun turret is blue.
That is where the toy loses me on the palette, is just how randomly that turquoise gets thrown around. The top of the hips and...
Plastic sharing is what it is. It's your sprue share.
Yeah. I love the idea that they were like, hey, let's just stick these colors into the molds and see what happens.
I do think it's weird that
was probably like their benchmark run when they first did
magic, it. Whatever happened to his gun at this point made it come straight out of G2, because that's like some... You know, that's so Ramjet's gun right there.
I know, and I like the Ramjet colors. I like turquoise and purple. I'm probably never gonna end up getting this anytime soon. But
this is gonna be something we see at a convention point and laugh, isn't it?
This is gonna be something where if we see it at a convention and nobody buys it, and then on Sunday they mark it down to like 200 or 150, and then I have that in my pocket and I go like, I'm gonna buy this. And then I spend the entire convention recording playing with it and waving it at Aaron. That's probably going to be how this goes.
In which case, the recording will continue with my hand to the camera and then hearing something going flying through the air.
I hate this purple! Look, the upholstery of the inside of his car is pink, and that pink doesn't show up anywhere else on the toy.
Yeah. But what I'm looking at is the full length shot with the turquoise, or the not even turquoise, like that cyan in the middle of the shin flap.
Which shot is that?
That's one of the later shots.
The joint is in turquoise.
Yeah. No, that's not the turquoise color. That's the cyan, like the shoulder.
Shoulder joints.
The hip color. That's that light blue.
Oh, to me, that's my eyes are taking it a little bit greener.
No, that's not, because the turquoise is his chest color.
You see, to me, that's like a very blue turquoise, but I'm seeing the joints as like
it's like a cyan.
It's
a much lighter color than all of the black that's around it. How's that? We won't quibble over.
But I'm just saying, when I say turquoise, colors. I am talking about that particular cyan. I'm seeing it a lot more seafoam green.
I'll agree to see foam green to continue the conversation.
Maybe because I'm seeing it so much closer to turquoise, that's why I'm liking it more.
And then they have a comic book that looks like it's in both Japanese and English, explaining
what
the doppelganger is.
Yeah. Wait,
oh wow! That, I didn't notice the English in there. Oh man!
Hi, we do a podcast. You do it every week, we do it every other week, in which you look at things and prepare and think about, what are we going to talk about? And this is going to be my backup plan, because I know somebody's going to take my original idea. Look, there's a comic book.
You're making me want this more, actually, by showing me that comic book. Oh man, the back of his box even has some of the font in his turquoise and purple.
Good lord, man.
I am going to be the lone champion of this thing, who is championing it this hard. Haters gonna... That phrase that's so played out.
Haters gonna hate, yeah. Haters gonna hate. Yeah. That's me right now. Haters. Hating.
That's so played out. Hey man, haters gonna hate. Why don't you occupy yourself with... No, I'm not gonna go there.
Winning.
Oh, shut up. Don't even... That is not happening on my podcast.
Yo, dog, I heard you like internet jokes.
I'm okay with that one. But I'm not going to cotton to none of this Charlie Sheen nonsense. Anyway. please chime in with your own thoughts on Black Masterpiece Rodimus in the thread. We'll see whose army is bigger. I expect Aaron's will be.
Team Aaron and Team Vangelis. Pick a side.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Why did this happen?
We'll be on the
there?
Losing side of something else.
Yo, let's just drop a few more memes because people think they're funny, and then people will think we're funny because we're dropping memes. I want a new pick, something kind of cool, which is the new photos we got of the completed TFC Hercules with the black prototype versions of. Mad Blender and Neckbreaker. And there's a size comparison showing that he's kind of comparable in size to Primus from the Cybertron line.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I don't know how I had necessarily missed these.
Well, you see, we do a podcast.
Oh, I guess what I saw was the black prototypes in there, and I thought it was as before where they had limb swap over.
Oh, no, yeah, this is to show basically what he'll look like completed. And of course, the first thing that came up is a whole bunch of people going like, oh man, he's got Clubfoot. Why didn't they have a long nose trailer on Mixmaster? And then a whole bunch of people went like, I don't know, go ask G1. Because the Mad Blender foot does look like it's kind of like missing the front half of the foot, but that is kind of the way the Devastator looks.
Yeah, well, I'd say I'm surprised that there's not, although it looks like he's got square enough of foot, that there's not a panel on the front of it that folds down for a bit more toe or heel action.
I can definitely see
that. For balance issues, but then again, once you start getting up that big, you don't want it to be a dude that can... It's nice to have the additional posability, but it's not like you're going to have him doing ballet poses because he weighs 40 pounds.
In general, yeah, I think that you know, this Hercules, the primary poses he'll be in will be him with his feet planted as he is punching through buildings or waving Classics Prime around, as he's doing in one of those photos, I believe. It's not in this photo set, but I think from the same photo set I saw a picture, or at least the same background, there's a picture somewhere of him like holding Classics Prime by the head.
Yes, I do recall that picture.
Anyway, I think this thing looks really cool, and if I can ever get the money together, I am definitely wanting to try picking up the Hercules parts.
Well, worst case scenario, Gerodimus is buying all of these. I'll make sure he brings them up to TFCon.
Yeah, and I found out it's drivable. I found out some of the Canadians I know up here have got like the first two, so maybe I'll just keep pushing them to buy the rest of them, and then kneecap them in the parking lot and steal their toys. I was kind of hoping that there would be more poses being shown here, but at the same time, I like that they focused on stuff like they're showing the front and back of the Mad Blender leg, showing that it has an ankle joint, like Structor. And I like detail shots like that, where they show, like, here is how this guy will have a stance, which I think is very important. I'm glad that TFC is recognizing the importance of an ankle tilt, because that is one of the things I've noticed is not present in the individual members, is they have very Unicron trilogy era feet where their legs are just kind of like blocks.
Right. But so, it's the old, you know, what do you give precedence to? Are people buying these to be individual figures, or are they buying it to be not Devastator?
Exactly. And the upside
is buying it to be not Devastator.
It's clear that they are focusing very much on making the combined form as effective as they can. I also like that these detail shots show you how this guy has heel support, which is very important.
That is the little flippy out bit. It was the way I've got my windows cropped because I'm on a smaller monitor.
Yeah, little flippy out bits on the knees. Looks like the kneecaps, basically, on Mad Blender form into little double heel spurs. And then on Structor, it's the whole forearms. It's also really cool because when you look at this rear view, you can see that like Mad Blender is kind of like he's right side up, whereas Structor is upside down in the two leg modes. So that is also kind of cool to me because it means there's not a whole lot of there's not as much obviously shared tooling between them.
Yeah,
it seems like they're a little bit more unique. I noticed on the pictures I saw of Neckbreaker, the other arm, that he seems very much like X-Graver, especially in the legs, which helps with the symmetry of the forearms for sure.
Yeah.
But I like it when they can get really unique with these dudes. And overall, I'm now that we've seen physical versions, at least, of all six, I think they look pretty cool. They are definitely still an aesthetic that you're going to either like or go like, well, I'd rather get the Maki Toys Giant! Or you're just going to be like me and say, like, they both look really cool, and I think I'm going to get both.
That's a sensible stance to take.
The more I see of Hercules, the more I would like to have it, but I don't have $600 to
it's just such a hard price to choke down.
Even if they did like the $500 gift set, that's a lot of money for a lot of toys. So those of you out there that are getting it, bravo.
Yeah, and I'm going to say too, I think that looking at it as a $600 figure, it's sensible, but it's also, bear in mind that it's not $600 up front until next spring.
Right.
Like, as it is, and I think that is actually ending up to become a benefit to it, and it's a benefit to it because TFC is showing all these development pictures as they go. that by releasing it in a staggered way, I remember back when they started doing this, it was kind of like, oh, this is going to be a coin toss, because if they can't get the first couple to sell, they might be boned. And it clearly it worked. And it's helping out, I think, a lot of people that you're basically able to buy this guy in $100 installments and not like, oh, I'm going to do installment payments, then get my figure. It's like, I am literally buying pieces of him over 6 months.
That's true.
And I think that's helping a lot. It's also making it grow. Like, we're in the sweet spot right now, because there are three of these guys out, two of them out very readily, and the structure just came out. And it's at a point right now where you can still jump on. I think that starting with Dr. Crank, when there are four of these guys out, that's when you're going to hit the thing of, well, now if I want to jump in on this, it's a $400 entry point to get all four of them. That's where this is going to get a lot harder. We're now entering the realm of this guy being one of the most expensive entry points on a third-party figure you can go for. Yeah. I mean, and I'm saying this with the assumption that if you look at this, you're like, well, I got to buy all of them at once. At the same time, you could still do the installment. You could just buy whichever one you think looks the coolest and then buy the other ones one at a time piecemeal.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of what I look back at, because it's not like these guys sold out anywhere?
Anyone that sold out, they said they're doing a restock in January.
Right. So it's not like, okay, yeah, here I'm at Big Bad and they've got Heavy Labor, X-Graver in stock and pre-orders on the other four. So you could still do a month by month and just be 2 or 3 months behind release.
Yeah.
Because it's not like they're some of the crazy figure art stuff that we look at on our own and off topic stuff that's like, oh, it was up for 18 seconds before it disappeared.
And that was something else I was worried about, which was that by the time like Dr. Crank would come out, X-Graver would be an unattainable item, that they would only make so many. And then when they sold out, like I figured he'd be available for a while, but only like the one run. Now that I've seen they're doing second runs of not just X-Graver, but Heavy Labor, it makes me think like, oh, they're at least selling well enough to be able to have multiple runs on the figures, which means that that's, to me, all their base is covered on making this a desirable item, which is that it seems like it's never going to be a case of any one piece being unattainable, and they're keeping them in ready supply and readily showing images of everything as it's being developed. So it's, they're doing this, I think, the best way they could have, which is good to see.
I'm continue to be interested at a distance.
Omegas, can I get you to buy these?
No, you cannot.
Damn it. I want to make you spend hundreds of dollars.
I have a small budget, which already gets claimed up by my current obsessions.
I want to make you spend hundreds of dollars. More.
You have a house?
You can trade a house for $600 really easily. I've done it.
I'm not trading the house. That's where I keep my stuff.
Just get plastic boxes. The Web 2.0 lifestyle. I have one other new pick to share. This was actually sent to my profile on TFW by K-Mac. And I did think this was kind of funny. This is an image of a flyer. I saw a couple of people talking about this. For a Toys R Us sale happening.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Proto Man linked this.
Yeah. Check out the Transformers Class 1 toys that are on sale.
Transmetal 2 Cheetor and Transmetal 2 Dinobot.
Yeah.
Horribly mistransformed on both accounts.
Yeah, horrifyingly mistransformed in a very late 90s Toys R Us catalog kind of way. I think that they just have a big bin of pictures called Transformers, and somebody pulled the wrong ones.
Right. Somebody should have cleared that hard drive a while back.
That would be fine, except, you know, they've got the big... they're with the Star Wars tag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're Transformers listed under Star Wars. It's Beast Wars, Transmetal 2s, right above a Classics Lion-O and some Redekai.
So they were actually trying to get Star Wars crossovers. Get Beast Wars.
That could be, too, with that price point. That might have been what they were going for. Because below that, then, what's next to the Classics Lion-O, the 8-inch Classics Lion-O, is the Battle in Space set.
Which we're still trying to get rid of up here.
Yeah, we're still trying to get rid of down here, too.
Yep. Do you know what else is great about this Toys R Us sale, though? Well, I say great, but it means that I have an easy $35 to spend as long as it's on sale. That 3-pack of War for Cybertron toys with the translucent plastic and the battle damage decos, went from being $50 to being $35, which is so much more palatable. So much more palatable for three deluxes. Because our deluxes generally are $16 each, $16-$17 each at retail plus tax.
Right.
So three for $35 is not the best deal, but it's better than $50. anyway, I had to share that catalog picture because I thought it was pretty fun. Moving along from our new pick picks, it's time for one of Aaron's favorite topics. We've got some BotCon 2012 news. We got an email this week, which is that an announcement for the location and dates with hotel info will happen in the next couple days. So look forward to WTF and TFW episode 177, which has clearly been favored by folks running BotCon. I'm just joshing. But, Aaron, how do you feel about this announcement?
Oh. Yes, you have to edit now.
I don't want it.
Another announcement that we've got an announcement coming up for an announcement that we'll be announcing something in the near future and an announcement for your announcement needs. That combined with, as we were talking in the pre-show, the lightheartedness of responses on Twitter when people were like, hey, you know, there's this BotCon announcement, and then somebody else would say, hey, you know, it'd be really neat if BotCon would actually announce something.
I don't think lighthearted is the right word for it myself, but I can't think of a very diplomatic word yet. So I'm
after dropping the F-bomb earlier, in case you didn't edit quite well enough for people to know what was said.
I posted my piece on Twitter. It's gone from being, it's still funny, but it's also not really a smiling funny.
It's gone
funny.
To the point of being sad funny.
Yeah, it's kind of, yeah, it's a kind of like, oh, they're like, and, like when and I come home that day to see a whole bunch of, I open up my Twitter as I get off the subway and see a whole bunch of people going like, well, I can't believe what Twitter drama. I'm like, oh, not again.
Yeah,
so I scroll back and I'm like, here we go again.
When I had opened up my Twitter client and in an hour I had to like do the refresh to get over 200 tweets loaded onto my phone to see what was going on. And then I saw a bunch of the stuff going back and forth. And like I was saying, you know, I know that they're trying to get hype up, but at the same time, it was, I mean, we went and saw a month ago, they were teasing BotCon 2012, which got everybody excited. It was the 3rd of November.
Yeah.
And so that's a month ago. And so everybody thought, hey, it's going to be soon. And there was Twitter feed of, hey, yeah, you know, get ready. And get ready means like soon, not a month away. And it's getting to the point where there are a lot of people that have jobs that if they do get vacation time, have to have their vacation, the days that they want off at the beginning of the year, which can be limiting. You know, you really have to plan ahead. And when you have something like BotCon that at times, I mean, what was our worst lead up? It was like,
I don't remember off the top of my head, but it was, I want to say
like
three months. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really tight timing to book a hotel room. Granted, they're all, the main hotel is all going to be sold out in the first 2 hours, 3 hours.
Yeah. And that's
and
why
then,
I think this
and
kind
then
of
they'll
update,
freak out
update.
And announce other things.
This kind of update, you know? Update is totally fine when it's the one before the info comes out. That's the one to be an update. But, and this is, you know, it is kind of a joke now that is being made, and even the BotCon Twitter account is kind of joking about it at this point of, you know, the announcements about announcements, or at least I assume he is because he keeps retweeting people who make jokes about it.
God, I hope so.
But
I hope he's joking.
Let's hope that 177 we have the topic of BotCon 2012 location announced. So
yeah,
we can start talking about that
because
I don't want us to go too deep into the people fighting on Twitter thing, but I just want to drop a quick piece, which is that I was talking to Mumps on, was it Mumps? No, it was Hoopla on Twitter, and there is a value in being personable on Twitter, but there's a way to do it, and that way of doing it has not been displayed and could easily be taught, I think, if one wants to be taught it. I have a lot of opinions on how to use social media, and if BotCon would like to know them, I'm not going to just espouse a bunch of soapbox on here myself, but I am willing to, you know, throw down some feedback. I don't want to throw it down right now because I've tried before and I have watched others try before, and I personally do not like the way it is received and responded to.
No.
But I think there are many great ways that the BotCon Twitter could be used and could still try to be the more personable thing that it is trying to be, which is a totally valid thing to do. But there is a way to do it, and there are ways to do it that end up damaging your relations with customers, and I think that it is more of the latter right now than a positive thing.
You know, that's, like I've said before, you know, I think part of the reason why I get so fired up about it is because I do care so much about it. You know, I'm not going to tell people don't go to BotCon because somebody on Twitter is being a poopy head.
Yeah, and I don't really want to, I don't want to keep trying to put my input in when often I find the input is met with a very, if not defensive, somewhat adversarial tone.
Yes.
When at that point, I think that that's probably the last thing it needs to do. And I say all this speaking about a Twitter account that is ostensibly a corporate Twitter account that represents a company. There is a difference between that and my own Twitter account, which is just me, which gets very off-topic, very spammy.
Generally, the person that runs this, don't necessarily mean to out him, but he's done it himself, is Pete Sinclair, runs the Twitter account for BotCon. Apparently, it's somebody else that runs the Facebook account
for
BotCon.
You know what? The Twitter account is being run a lot better than the Facebook account.
And, yeah.
A lot better.
Because I guess the Facebook account is having, you know, people will say, hey, do you know about this other convention? And then that disappears off of the page, off of the wall.
Yeah, yeah.
So that almost gives you the whole clandestine cloak and daggery bit. But Pete really needs to get himself a personal Twitter account that he can be jokey on and get that out of his system. Because it's the type of guy that Pete is, you know, with people that he likes and that he's friends with, he'll joke some of these jokes. But when it's being seen as BotCon, I think that the jokes are, they go past being... trying to be on topic, you know, because he had BotCon.
The jokes are fine, yeah. But then it goes to a really just ugly thing to watch when it goes from the joke being made to responding to the people who didn't really like it at length, at ad nauseum, and then dropping in a whole bunch of retweets of people who agree with you, which
it doesn't
come off in a very positive way to the people who don't agree with it or who have a very mid-ground look at it. And it's just, it kind of sucks because I think it's pretty clear that in general, we like a lot of the dudes who work at that thing. We like Pete a lot. So it always feels like we're doing this intervention thing of look, man, just come
on. Social media intervention. We're going to sit down. We've got drinks. You know, let's talk about this. But yeah, I mean,
and also on the other side of the coin, don't hammer down on the BotCon Twitter, because the BotCon Twitter will often reply to you and end up creating more of what you are complaining about.
Yeah,
this is definitely not the way to go about life, but it is one of those cases where right now it might, like, if you really cannot take or are getting just really truly irritated by what it's saying, might as well just unfollow it.
Yeah,
which is not a good thing because it is a news source. That's the primary reason why I'd still like to stay following it. But
that was about my only other peeve was bad statistics.
Well, this time at least the statistic wasn't quite as for lack of better terms.
It will
terms,
be not in 95% of all your backyards. Odds are you will need to drive or fly.
Yeah, and that one is a lot less down-talky than the
2%
people, blah, blah, blah thing.
Yeah.
Which is only kind of frustrating because so many of us had broken toys. But
Right. We would. I don't know if any of us weren't in that 2%.
Yeah, but it was just like kind of like, I don't like the fact that I could predict this time exactly what happened and was right. That's kind of a bummer.
I mean, and then the later stuff that's come out is the reason why they can't announce it yet is because at this time they do not have the signed paperwork for whatever back.
And that's fine.
That locks them in. And that's fine. Yeah. You know, I think a better announcement would have been maybe not to tease the other thing or tease it the way that they did and say, hey, final paperwork's gone out. You're going to know in a couple days, so get ready. And then leave it be. You know, if somebody replies, because I saw somebody replying along the lines of, hey, is this couple days, week, couple days, 2 days, and then it was a non-reply to that, but then somebody gets slightly snarky and they're replying to that. I think that the
don't
response
the
should
bait.
Be the other way.
Don't take the yeah. bait. This is the...
Don't like, feed the trolls.
Let me
don't
be
take
a hypocrite
bait.
And throw down some advice. Like, you know,
you if know, you, tell if, the person that wanted to know the time frame, say, hey, no, we're waiting on the convention center to sign, or we're waiting on the other party to sign, even if you can't see the convention center or whatever.
And if people but, are coming know, at hotel, you and you can't give an answer, just say, like, I can't
yeah,
really
can
answer
say,
that.
Hey, look,
just, I can't answer
tell you
that
until
at
we
this
have
time, and then leave
back.
The conversation alone.
We hope to have that paperwork in a few days. And you say that, and then it's you've got your built-in defense. If somebody wants to attack you, you can either say, hey, look, we can't contractually say where it's going to be until we have that paperwork back. If we say, hey, it's going to be in Duluth, and the Duluth whatever, the Duluth Convention Center says, no, we don't like these terms, we're not going to do business with you, then you've got all this other stuff behind that's going to be a mess. So you just say, hey, we got to wait for that paper to come back. Yeah, and you say that in the beginning, you don't have that, I was lucky enough to see the reply to the person that I also follow, so I saw that reply, but somebody else doesn't follow this person, so they didn't see that reply. It leads to confusion, and you know, and
it's a coin toss
it's
to make
the same
too.
Thing that,
like,
yeah,
not,
it's the
not
same
even a coin toss, but
about.
It's like, are you, like, either, you know, be transparent right away about the reasons, or just right. say, like, we can't actually share the reasons why due to obligations we have on paper.
Right.
Which is, these are, and it's all, like, at the end of the day, it's not like, you know, the BotCon Twitter does not say unreasonable, they don't give unreasonable reasonings for why no. or why not they're saying stuff. It's just, like, a lot of that stuff, it seems to come through these, like, day-long, multi-hour periods of Twitter strife, which I find
right.
don't seem to be necessary.
Right. It seems like what they need to do is go, okay, we're going to do a press release. Exactly how much are we willing to say in this press release? Or are we willing to let be known at this time frame through whatever means? Okay, that is the line. Write everything up to that line and put in the release. Put in the email. Get it out there to every source. Send out the email. Post it on the boards. Put it on Facebook, tweet about it with a link back to our Facebook page, our front page that has all of this information up to this point that we're willing to talk about.
Well, even and then, the whole process of press releasing. I mean, that's almost a topic
that's
we've gone into
before.
In
itself, like, but yeah,
the main thing is social media best practices. When you're a corporate yeah. social media is don't antagonize. Because yeah. there, it has happened before, and it's been proven that when you're a corporate social media outlet and you antagonize, nothing good comes from it. You will
yes,
get people
you're the faceless corporation.
Well, you'll get people who will rise up and will come to your side, as you know clearly the constant retweets show. You'll get people who will stick by you when you decide to get into it with people who, you know, when you're on a corporate Twitter and you get into it with people. There will be people who back you up, and that it will feel good. But in the long run, it gives your Twitter account a reputation as well. And
right.
going by at least what my feed was saying, the BotCon Twitter account is gaining a reputation that's not a good one.
Yeah, I know two or three people that are in my feed that were like, BotCon stuff? Don't follow them anymore. Oh, well. And
I'm still following them because it's going to be one of the prime ways to get BotCon news as fast as possible. It will be because it's the BotCon Twitter account, but yeah, you know, I don't want to go into this any longer because it's going to start getting repetitive. But I hope that the BotCon social media thing doesn't die, and I hope that it improves because it can do a lot of good. And it just needs to get out of these starting blocks, pretty fast. Omegas. Did you read or have any opinion on the location announcement? I saw that you were one of the folks who was doing some fun tweets about the announcements.
Yeah, the inceptioning of the announcements.
Yes.
God, I don't think I want to compete with Aaron on this one. You know, he pretty much killed it, you know. It's, you know, it sucks. They need to use it better, and you know, I wish it affected me more because it's so rare I can actually get to BotCon. So
yeah, but I mean, like outside of folks who can get to BotCon, there is always going to be that little pertinent thing of, like, they are going to show what the convention toys are, and there are always going to be the non-attendee sets. And it's like, there's still reasons to follow the BotCon Twitter. It's weird, because I'm like, I'm kind of saying, I mean, that the BotCon Twitter practices are kind of not up to par, but there are plenty of good reasons to follow it. And,
you know, that's one of the things that came out later, I think, was that none of the Armada Energon Cybertron molds are supposed to be in this set.
Yeah.
It's the first time that they've not done that.
That's something that I think should get a lot more attention than a giant Twitter fight. And I don't mean
that's
that
something that
people
got buried,
should not
that
be talking about the Twitter fight.
Until
I mean,
just as
a
you
giant
asked
Twitter
Omega
fight shouldn't
that.
Happen. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right. And it's something that didn't kick over in my brain until then, because that wasn't what the topic of discussion was online.
It's because in my head I keep thinking about, like, oh man, that silly joke that people got pretty worked up about, and then the Twitter account stoked the fires of... But yeah, they did say this is going to be the first BotCon since 05 to not use any of the Unicron trilogy, which is, I think, pretty big news for speculation, because it means that is like three giant lines of toys that are finally, after all these years, and I don't mean that in like, oh, finally they're gone, but I mean, you know, after all these years, they are no longer in our window.
But it's at the same time, I mean, look how many molds they used, especially from Cybertron. I mean, that well, it was pretty much a joke at that point that the well was just about dry anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were pumping fumes on that.
And that also means it's kind of cool that, and again, this kind of supports my thing that Shattered Glass Galvatron should have been like a finale toy. He should have been not only the final Shattered Glass toy, but I believe he is the final Unicron Trilogy toy.
Yep.
So that would have been a great double cap for that toy to happen if they weren't doing...
Yeah, that would actually make me quite happy to have that toy.
It would be such a cool trivia piece about that toy.
I think
it's really cool, because that means that not only... is Generations up for grabs, but going by a Twitter conversation I saw, I think it might have been Techno or somebody else, they were asking if quote-unquote movie toys like Sea Spray or other Hunt for the Decepticons Reveal the Shield toys would be up for grabs as well, and the BotCon Twitter account replied with, as far as they're concerned, Transformers are just Transformers, that's it. Which means that I believe they can go into these pseudo-movie lines as well. Probably just so long as the vehicle modes aren't licensed. They can go into them.
I think it was said at one time that, you know, Hasbro has full control of their molds, you know, and it's pretty much up to them if they can use them or not.
Yeah.
So, you know, and yeah, as long as there isn't a licensing issue, that should be fine. And
I think as long as it's not like, you know, something that's the Saline Mustang for Barricade or something like that.
And to go into a positive bent. To go into a positive bent on this. That means this could be one of the coolest box sets in a while, because this is going to be a box set that is, much like last year's, this year's box set will probably be a very, very, very different aesthetic than what we're used to out of BotCon box sets, which I think is really exciting. So I want to see some of that news. I want to see some of that news, and I don't want to see Twitter fights, and I don't want to see antagonism. I just want to see some really cool, really fun, positive, awesome news. That's what I want to see. That's why I want to keep following that account. So I'm hoping that over the next month we get to see not only the location announcement, but maybe even one of the first toy reveals. That would be really cool. Anyway, that went on a while. But let's hope for the best. And let's hope that what we're saying is being taken as it is, which is an attempt to give some feedback. Even if, in Aaron's case, it's a little bit harsh, because that Aaron character is such an antagonizer.
Yep.
Anyway, we have a listener question, ladies and gentlemen, from Purdue AV 2003, which I almost ran 2 weeks ago until I realized that it was an audio one. It had an MP3 attached to it, and I didn't actually listen to the MP3 in advance, so I'm going to be running this like a voicemail question. Because I can. But Aaron... Because Aaron is so details-oriented, already listened to the question.
Yep.
Way to be small time.
Some of us can actually roll with the punches, Aaron.
Way to be small time.
Well, I knew it was from a friend, and I wanted to hear his praises, so.
Well, Well, I hope everyone just realizes that Aaron's reactions to this question are not genuine, and I apologize for how this has gone down. Oh, man. That actually kind of hurt my throat to say. I am going to read, though, the PM first, which reads as follows. Greetings! I had thought about submitting my listener question via the hotline, but as someone who listens to the podcast during my commute, I have noticed that the hotline questions are often hard to hear when mixed with road noise. So to help minimize the number of car accidents caused by podcast listeners scrubbing backwards on their iPods while trying to drive, I just made an audio file. You can download the file at the following link. I'm not telling you! Thanks again for all the work you guys put into informing and entertaining the fandom. Purdue AV 2003. I'm going to get this playing now. In just a second. Once I twiddle my knob here. Whoop.
Good day, podcasters. I am Purdue AV 2003. And I am sending you this voice message in order to prevent Vangelis from reading my question in some derpy voice.
Too late!
I have my own derpy voice, thank you very much. My question is more for the Even team, as I know Aaron is a fellow airplane geek. Given the improved engineering we have seen over the last few years with aircraft transformers, such as Hunt for the Decepticons Highbrow and, one of my favorites, Generation Scourge, what are some real-life aircraft that you would like to see done as transformers? As someone that works around commercial aircraft every day, I've often thought about how cool it would be to have a 737 or 757 transformer on my desk at work. Well, that's it. You guys do an awesome job, and I just wanted to say how much we in the fandom appreciate all the effort you guys put into this. And I wanted to end by saying...
Podcasters, boiler up and roll out.
There was no click!
He's recording it himself, and I will return the boiler up. You only get that if you went to Purdue, so moving on.
Anyway, Aaron... Since you're so special, why don't you answer the question first?
I'm with him. I would like to see any of the 7 blank 7s out of Boeing, which your commercial aircraft, or even the Airbus A380, which it's had another friend that deals with building airports called it a double decker airport breaker, because it's such a large aircraft, full length, double height, has second highest interior volume short of the Antonov aircraft carrier that was specifically built to carry Soviet space plane. Anyway, big airplane, large landing gear, extra takeoff space, double-decker full height. Airports are having to build extra skyways at your terminals to be able to load the whole dang plane. That would be neat to see. I also think, well, I guess we are kind of getting an unmanned Predator drone out of Soundwave eventually, right? In Prime?
I think so.
I'm trying to think what else, because we've gotten plenty of, like, A-10 Warthog analogs.
We certainly could use more A-10s.
Yeah. Fun, very distinct-looking planes. Because I was thinking at first, like, stealth aircraft, but that's been Starscream. And all the movie line stuff is an F-22.
Well, I never knew what an A-10 was until, thanks to Transformers, I not only know what A-10s are, but now I even have the reaction of, oh, another A-10. I don't know anything about planes.
Yeah. Well, the reason why the A-10 makes a good plane is because it's a very distinct look, and it was this distinct build. It was built to kill Soviet tanks. Mm. It can fly low and slow and for a really long time and shoot out hot dog-sized pieces of depleted uranium.
Oh, good old depleted uranium. My favorite of the non-Newtonian uraniums.
But, beyond that, things like the stealth fighter. I think F-117 would be interesting, the original stealth fighter. But beyond that, everything else is kind of plain thematic, at least for, like, on the kids' level of things. Because you're going to have the Zoom Zoom airplane, and you're going to have the bigger airplane. Because Air Raid is kind of close to what any sort of the large commercial aircraft would be, short of the weird vents on top and the stand for the AWACS dish.
Yeah, the giant radar dish.
Yeah. So maybe something more that way. That pretty much covers it. I'd like to see more airplane Transformers and whatever they make it as, I guess my answer kind of burbled out too.
All right. Omegas, how about yourself?
This is a little tricky since I'm not up on my planes very much.
Neither am I, but I have a cheating answer I'm going to be doing.
Well, you're a cheater then.
Yep.
God. See, all the jets I could name, you know, they have been done. You know, we've had, you know, self-bombers, warthogs, all those before. Jesus. I feel bad because there's no answer I could give here.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's like what I said. You know, we've gotten all of the basic airplane types.
Right.
You know, you can, you know, unless you're an airplane person, it's kind of hard to tell the difference between a lot of the Boeing planes, short of trying to count engines and decks and what's the tail type, that
yeah.
sort of thing. Or can you eyeball the length of that to know if that's a ER or not?
What's right. your favorite number of engines? Just based off that. You like 20 engines? I think 20 engines is pretty board. Cool.
Like, I like when they go into the older style jets. That's one reason why I liked Highbrow so much.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't a jet.
Okay, whatever. Plane.
Jets require jet engines.
Plane. Aircraft.
A propeller-based aircraft.
Plane. Whatever.
It fly. It have wing.
I like it when they go into that. The Web Diver series had an awesome-looking toy, which is unfortunately out of my reach still.
Yeah.
Which is a World War II fighter, which looked really awesome. Like, I don't really have enough plane experience to, you know, say which models I'd like. Like, somewhere in the back of my head, there's always been this little fantasy where Hasbro will do something different and give us Starscream. Okay, let's give Starscream F-22 traditional style. Let's make Thundercracker the Warthog. It still transforms to look like the classic robot, and we make a stealth bomber into Skywarp.
That'd be cool.
You know, that way you have three matching robots, three distinct jets, and then there's no issue with releasing all of them at the same time, instead of taking 5 years.
Yeah, yeah. I can see that. Or having one of them be Japan exclusive. Or Dotem Skywarp. I have an answer to this question, which is kind of not really an answer to the question, but I thought of it while Aaron was giving his answer. I want to see a Transformer that turns into an airport. Like, imagine if LAX turned into a robot. That'd be kind of cool.
So, Tidal Wave, aircraft carrier.
Yeah, like, just literally an airport. Like, a base former who turns into an airport, rather than, like, a battle base.
Right.
Like, a giant multiplex airport. And then his robot mode could have, you know, all those extending tunnels for passengers to enter the planes?
Mm-hmm.
He could have those as, like, tentacles on his back. And then they, like, whip forward and extend, and he whacks you with them.
So you want JFK Maximo?
Yes. That'd be so damn cool. I don't know. I think that's the best answer I can give, as I also
there.
Know Jack and Vegetable about planes.
See, there we go. I found in scouring my brain for something interesting, and I linked it to you guys.
The Ford
Tri-Motor was a 20s to 30s. I think it was a little bit after that, too. But it was a three-engined aircraft that came off of when you said, how many engines would you like?
It was
a three-propeller early commercial aircraft. They made about, I want to say, 200 of them.
That says, it says a total of 199 were produced. Wouldn't it
yeah.
be cool if there was suddenly a 200th one because it was a Transformer who scanned one of them, and that became like a plot point?
Yeah.
It was the mysterious 200th Tri-Motor.
But it was interesting, and it was an airplane that had a lot of it was one of the first planes to be a little bit more robust for air travel. Just an interesting little hiccup in aviation, because generally you have an even number of engines for balance and that sort of thing. I think they still do some with odd numbers of jets, but some of that crazy early air flight. Let's just try it and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to see more of that kind of thing. Much like I'd love to see more concept cars happen as well. Pseudo fantastical things grounded in reality would be neat to see, I think. But thank you for the question and the MP3, Purdue AV 2003. I'm sure Aaron was very titillated by the airplane talk.
Finally, I get attention on me. Not like BotCon talk, I don't Moving get along. Attention on me. Yeah,
please. Moving along, we've got a listener question from Tubbs C, who says, quote, "Hi there, I'm Tubbs C. T. Joe Mega may know me as Piqua Comics, spelled with a PQ, but that is besides the point. This question has been bothering me for a while, ellipses. What is the reason for quote-unquote female Transformers? Or rather, why do they exist? Of course, other than female presence. You guys are awesome! Thank you and goodbye. Click." So, Omegas, he knows you.
Yeah. Kind of creepy.
Like, I know who you... You don't know who I am, but I know where you live.
I'm following you, TJ Omega.
So, I was going to actually say real snarkily, all like, well, the reason for female Transformers is so there's female characters, but Tubbsy has already covered that aspect of it. So, it depends on your continuity, really. It actually has been explained here and there. I believe in the 80s comic books, in a UK comic book, it was explained as being an extension of good faith to women's rights movements on Earth, if I recall correctly.
It was along the lines of to show that they're people too.
Yeah, and in IDW, as we all know, female Transformers exist because Gyaxis did some really, really unpleasant experimenting on an unnamed Transformer and forced a gender into that Transformer, which I always thought was a really cool plot point.
Yeah.
I still stand by that thing. Like, even if the delivery ended up being a little bit like, eh, and then, you know, IDWRC kind of fell off the radar and then returned in Heart of Darkness, of all things. I think that the concept was really cool. I know a lot of people were really down on that concept, and I was like, oh, that's a bummer, because I think that's a really cool idea of what is basically a genderless society, like race and society. As an experiment, a mad scientist went like, well, what if I make one of you clearly a gender, thus forcing the rest of our race to then clearly be a different gender?
Yeah, well, that was the thing that was, I remember the IDW comics of RC getting very upset when other Transformers were referring to her as she, and it was like, see, they changed the C and A and you know, caused you to do this, and now you think I'm weak and you gotta take care of me. Well, no, I'm going to blow your face off.
Yeah, like the message got a little bit weird and a little bit club-fisted, but I liked that plot point of like, you see, you're saying she.
Yeah.
We never even used to say she or he. We just used to refer to each other as Cybertronian. Now all of a sudden you are differentiating us. Like, I loved the plot potential of like the fact that, like, you know, up front, G-Axis experimented on RC, but at the same time, he kind of experimented on everyone RC ever encountered too. I thought there was a real cleverness behind that, even if the delivery didn't quite match up to the pitch.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I'm trying to remember if female Transformers have ever been outright explained elsewhere. Because I also, like in Animated, for instance, I believe if it wasn't stated, it was very much implied that there are female Transformers because there are male Transformers. Which I think makes complete sense, too. I don't think trying to, like, unless your explanation is something that is just awesomely twisted, like the IDW one, I don't think you actually, at the same time, really need to explain it, because they are, at the end of the day, dramatic characters who come from another planet, and the debate of whether or not aliens need to have male and female is something that goes, I think, a lot deeper and doesn't really have a definitive answer. Just going between you guys, Omegas, how do you feel about the concept of female Transformers? Do you think it needs explanation?
I don't think it necessarily needs explanation, but, you know, I don't think it's unexplainable either.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's always been this pet theory in my head, is like, why is there male and female Transformers? Well, why do we have PCs and Macs? They both do the exact same job. One's just sleeker, more efficient, and yet somehow not as popular on the shelves.
Mm.
This makes sense to me.
And you know what? I just realized there's another explanation, too. One of the original 13 looked like a girl.
Yeah.
Thus, a 13th of all Transformers are female in shape.
I am happy with that.
Yeah,
reasoning.
It's a I love that reasoning because it's so silly, but also so all encompassing.
Yeah, it's like what? Why does it? There's of the prototypes, only one was that way, so only, you know, 1/13th of the others are going to be that way. Why does that not make sense? Hmm.
Mm.
You're the one that's wrong.
Yeah,
maybe not quite so aggressive, but it. It's a good way to step aside from the boys and girls and baby Transformers and that sort of thing and just be like, no, it's because 1 out of 13 of the base models was that way and it's developed as such since.
Yeah, I think that, like, there's a lot of angles to look at this. I mean, like, you know, in the physical sense, technically, how is a female chassis any different from, like, well, why is Bulkhead so huge while Optimus Prime is so averagely bipedal? You know, yeah. Why is Bumblebee so short? Why does Ratchet have a big chin? You know, like, there's a lot of ways you can look at this. And then in the personality thing, that's where I kind of go a little bit out of science and go more like, well, for the sake of dramatis personae or whatever, it's, you know, there are certain styles of writing which it helps to have male characters and female characters. That's also just a slight humanization aspect. It's also an aspect of dramatic writing.
Right.
Similarly, having all Transformers being a genderless species is pretty cool too, and I think it can work in its own continuities. And at the same time, I think Beast Wars personally proved that having male and female Transformers, and even if you don't have them, you could still have this, which I think would be really ballsy and probably won't happen. Which is that I don't think romantic subplots are something that shouldn't happen in Transformers. Unfortunately, there is a creepy sub aspect to it because of the status of, you know, the nerdy subculture as it is in today's society, which is that if things look like they can put something in each other, then somebody's going to write the explicit story about how often they put something in each other.
And then ask a voice actor about it.
Yeah,
and then make everybody laugh nervously and pretend that they didn't just hear that.
And then, you know, they'll have their fan fiction, which explains exactly what fluids fell out and what spattered where. But I don't think that's a reason to nullify the concept of having romantic subplots in a Transformer story, because at the end of the day, stories are stories. It's drama. It's stuff that's meant to engage. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be pain. There's going to be blood, and there's going to be love at some point. And
work for Beast Wars.
Yeah, and love doesn't have to be creepy. It does not. If you know, there's a lot of people I find. It's kind of depressing how many people are like, I don't want to see girls in my Transformers because I don't want to think the Transformers have sex. And it's kind of like, well, they don't have to. you can have... There is more to... Especially in drama, where you don't even have to know everything that happens, there is a lot more to love subplots and romantic interrelationships between characters. There's a lot more than that than sex in that stuff. There can be a whole lot more to those relationships if they are written in a way that doesn't sit there going like, and then when the curtain drops and the screen goes black, they totally plug their transistors together and there's motor oil spattering across the ceiling.
Not to mention, you know, you're dealing with a purely robotic entity that, you know, would replicate by, you know, exchange of parts and construction of new creature. You know, it's like thinking, you know, okay, my Prius and my Dodge are going to mate.
Yeah.
It doesn't exactly work that way.
And, and another interesting aspect of this is, especially if it is someone who is so opposed to some human characteristics being in Transformers fiction, is it not a highly, incredibly human assumption to make that other species would have a reproductive process that is treated with the same level of a mixture of respect, privacy, and taboo as our own? In the greater scheme of things, or at least in the general view of society. Basically, I think that there's a lot of folks who try to pick a side on female Transformers that ends up whitewashing a whole lot of the really interesting stuff that can happen in between. And so I think the reason for them is, the non-fictional reason is because it is dramatic writing, and it can help with dramatic writing. And then, like I said, at the same time, I think it's cool when a show decides to actually, or a comic or something goes out to say, hey, guess what? They are in fact a monogender species. And I still think it would be really ballsy to do that and then have a romantic subplot, because that would so call into question the assumptions that an audience member would make, I think.
Yeah. Well, the assumption of we, as, human beings, tend to humanize what we see. That's why, these alien robots have two eyes, a nose, a mouth, two arms, two legs, etc.
Yeah.
You create a society of aliens where, okay, there's 16 genders.
Yeah.
you have no idea. Like, kind of forcing this idea upon them that, okay, there are two genders, thus they have sex. No. That's you projecting our species onto them.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way. They're aliens.
It's fine to project our species onto them, because at the end of the day, we are the ones who are writing them, and we are technically their creators in a way.
Yeah.
The humanization of a non-human fictional species is a hallmark of human-written fiction, because it's kind of proven that there needs to be at least a small degree of humanization to have a general audience connect with these characters, which I've always, and I'm very much on an outskirt here. I've always actually been a proponent of, I want to challenge that. And I like the idea of challenging that and making people connect with things that are as inhuman as possible. But, I just think I would love to see the way that a modern, nerd-dom, very internet based would react and discuss, about a plot point of number one, this Transformers show. They kind of all look like guys, but there's no real gender. Some are slim, some are bulky, etc. And then there's a romantic subplot. I want to see, just like, can you imagine how much those threads would detonate? Of people going like, just dropping in and applying so many personal filters over what they're seeing. And oh man, like, it would be complete chaos, and it would never happen. But I think the hypothetical situation of it happening would be so interesting to look at and to read. Anyway, Tubbsy, I hope that we have answered your question in some way amidst all of those tangents. Guys, I want to play us a voicemail, because GOG got me some new voicemails.
Yay, voicemails.
Already do this?
No, that wasn't a voicemail. That was a listener question. There's a difference.
Come on, get with it.
Okay, fine.
So this voicemail comes to us from, I believe, Opticron Primal. This comes from the haughty days of June of Ought 11, and I'm going to get this going now.
Greetings, God Dog, Seth Buzzard, TJ Omega, Aaron Ashmith, Lupus Convoy, Dan Divas, Proto Man, Derek J. Wyatt, and whoever else may be hosting the podcast at the time of this recording. TFW member Opticron Primal here with a quick question. Given how well the Cyberverse line has gone over with fans and the confirmation of the continuation into the Prime line, what exactly would you like to see done with the line? What characters or places would you like to see, and what improvements do you hope to see in the future? Thanks for your time, and I hope to hear your answer soon. Primal out.
No click, and he forgot to say Drew! That's so mean.
Yeah, come on.
No, but very, very good question, and in fact, I like this question because it's kind of timeless, because even though it was asked in June, it's still very applicable right now, because yes, Cyberverse did take off, and yes, it is in Prime, and I forgot we knew about that back in June. So, Cyberverse, I guess, where do you guys want to see it go? What kind of improvements do you want to see? I have so much I want to drop on this, but I don't want to go first, because I really love how it was delivered, and I think it has a lot of potential. Especially since it has so much potential, because it's like how Power Core had all this potential that was cut off. Right. Cyberverse has all this potential that will get a chance to evolve. But now we know that one of the improvements, or at least evolutions that happened, is a lot more packed in weapons, and the commanders have lights in them. Omegas, what would you like to see?
Oh, gee, there's such an obvious one, but I feel like I should get it out of there just so it's said. Since we do have this line, we've dedicated this tiny line of little versions of all the main toys. It's about time we saw the return of a city former.
Yes.
Like, one... Yeah. Since we're not getting a leader class or any kind of supreme toy for Prime that we know of... Let's make it a Cyberverse. Let's make it a Metroplex or a Fort Max or, a Scorponok even.
Yes.
Give us a big city playset that turns into a robot.
And make it a normal sized robot then, like a
Voyager,
even like a leader class or a Voyager. Or,
I wouldn't say a Voyager would probably be pretty small for this. Maybe
pushing it.
Either that, you bring back like an Ultra class.
Put Ultra into Cyberverse and call it like Cyberverse City or Cyberverse Base or something like that.
Right.
Oh, I like that, because Cyberverse already resurrected the idea of playsets. We got one for the movie, and we are getting one for Prime. Totally. I think that's a very good idea, and it's something that I think is actually realistic now, too, given the precedent set. I think that if they want to make a big experiment for Cyberverse, that might be it.
I think that really all kind of hinges on how well the Ark does.
Yeah.
And that is the big one right now.
And it has helped that the Ark has been on sale a lot.
I don't know how much that actually would help, though.
That's the thing.
Who's taking that hit on the sale. Is it Toys R Us that's getting the hit on the sale, or is it Hasbro that's saying, hey, look, we're going to kick you back some
I'm not sure.
At this rate to move this product?
Because I know that the Ark was a very hard sell when it wasn't on sale, because not only was it...
Yeah.
kind of expensive, but it also was the first of its kind in a long time, and I wonder if maybe that sale was in part to kind of warm up the buying public to what it is.
Or just to move it the heck out.
Yeah, to get it in the hands of kids and collectors, and...
I don't think it was to get it out there, I think it was to get it out of the store.
Oh, that's not a good one.
Yeah, because that is a very large box. It takes up a lot more real estate than something else could be taken that actually
sells.
And it's
an oddball product, I think, ultimately. I mean...
Yeah. Well,
it has a niche that's rough to...
Yeah, anytime you introduce a base, it always becomes a little bit of a niche product. Like, I remember the He-Man series, Try That Again. You know, it's the first playset I'd seen in forever on the toy shelves, but it stayed there so long. At the same time, though, that is a product that can stay on there a long time because, you know, as people get more toys, there is going to be a more, you know, more of a reason to get the base to go with them.
It's permanently relevant. As you go.
Right.
It's always relevant. This is a very good point to make. With a base, the more toys you get and the longer the base is available, the more people will start to go like, oh, and there's a base and I have like 15 toys now. I should get the base to put them in.
Yeah, in that case, a sale isn't such a bad thing because now that it's more affordable, now you need to populate that base.
Oh, so I never even considered that. Yeah, if people got the Ark, that would encourage them, oh, now I have the base. I better get more Cyberverse mans to put inside it. That makes a lot of sense, too. Man, we should all become the global director of marketing research.
Yeah.
We are totally seeing the machine underneath the velvet cloth.
They tried to hide it from you, but no, we're exposed.
And then our whole listenership is going like, yeah, idiots, that was obvious from day one, you bunch of numbnuts.
I don't understand. It's the man.
But no, I think base formers would be an awesome place for Cyberverse to go. And I'm not going to expect it to go there, but if it does, I will totally go like, oh, that makes so much sense. Aaron, what about you? What would you like to see in Cyberverse?
I think that having good scale of existing guys, so doing, again, the same round of toys that we've already gotten out of everything, but in all Cyberverse scale, it really works for the movie line stuff that's out now. When you sit there and you look at it, you know, you can get your whole cast of characters in similar scale for a lot cheaper, and, you know, if these are the toys that, you know, you can enact your epic battle like the Japanese interview that we had on our last show was talking about 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
You know, that's where they see this to be something so that you can enact those great battles. Then I think that's a good place for it to go. So seeing Prime, RC, Bumblebee, Bulkhead, Ratchet, all of those guys get their own, Cyberverse toy it's a no brainer place to go. Maybe also some of the off characters, if they could do that a bit more, since you can make more of them for the same shelf budget, maybe.
Oh, yes. I think that's why the Dreads happened in Cyberverse and not in the mainline.
So maybe see, you know, three different variations across the line of the Decepticon drones, or, you know, some of the, you know, they wanted to do Red Alert as a medic bot as well, so you can kick that out relatively easy, and a lot of repaint options in there too.
How many Erraticon Cyberverse Mans do you think I'm going to end up buying?
All of them.
Because I'm already going to buy multiples of the Deluxe, and now they're going to have an Erraticon Legend. It's like, oh, I better buy 10 of him eventually. I'll just, every time I go to the store, oh, I couldn't find any Transformers. So many what we got this week. So it's going to be like, yeah, I couldn't find any Transformers, so I got another Erraticon. There was a 2-for-1 sale, and I couldn't find anything, so I bought 2 Erraticons, and then I bought 2 more, because that way I'm technically buying 2 and getting 4.
And then we just hear thing. Then we just hear from Jacob that you've drowned in a sea of Erraticons.
Sea of Erraticons?
Yes. I don't know. You get so many that it fills up your room.
What you're talking about? I got
ultimate fantasy.
Oh, I thought you said you heard from him recently, and I was like, no.
Then we would hear from him. I was
okay. I was like, I don't got any Erraticons yet, man. But yeah, I think that especially, actually, it's great that we got to this question now, because now that we've heard that interview, we also know one of the mission statements of Cyberverse.
Right.
Absolutely and confirmedly. And definitely, I think that the movie line Cyberverse succeeded there.
Yes.
It was a fantastic way to, if you just wanted to collect a bunch of movie dudes, it was kind of a bit more fun even than tracking down Deluxes. Because you weren't having to, like, you just like, hey, I want the movie guys, and I don't feel like buying all of them in a main line for a third time. I'm just going to try the Cyberverse thing. If there's one thing I would like to see improved in Cyberverse, and I feel kind of bad saying this, because this can come across as me kind of cutting the legs out underneath all the good work Cyberverse did, in my opinion at least, especially based on my initial assumptions about it, I would love to see the Commander toys come back up to par with Scouts. I think the Commander toys, even though they are really cool, they still feel to me, and even in the Prime ones we've seen, they still feel to me as though they are not, they're just Legends Plus. Which I'm sure actually it is helping keep them aesthetically in line with the Cyberverse, now Legion price point, but I just wish that they were to me as satisfying as Scout toys.
Because they still, that's gotta be a lot of price drive though, because. Yeah. If you're going to make them like Scout toys, then it's going to be another $2. And when you can get these guys for $3 to $4, that is a crazy low price point for a toy that's really two toys in one.
Yeah, and it's just a bummer because I always look at Cyberverse Commanders. Legion toys, I think, are fine. In fact, I think some of the Legion toys, especially guys like Crowbar, really pushed and Flak, I think, really pushed the Legion thing hard and in a good way. But then I look at a lot of the commanders and I like a lot of the commanders, but then I pull out like Windcharger and I'm like, oh man, but at the end of the day, I feel like Windcharger is just such a more smooth toy. And maybe that is because commanders are pretty much a new price point that's being worked on in a way, or at least it's a similar price point, but with a different direction that hasn't been done before.
Yeah,
to relate lower, directly to lead to
still lower price point though than the Legends toys were, I think.
Yeah, it's maybe like,
at least that's always when I see them on sale.
I think it was a dollar or two cheaper, but
yeah.
It's also, far more importantly, it is trying to directly relate to the Legends toys now,
right?
Which changes a lot of things. And I just would love to see maybe by the end of Prime, you know, Cyberverse become less Legends and more like less Legends Plus and more Scouts Minus, as I've kind of said before. That's where I'd love to see it advance to. Just in general, like try to use, I mean, this is not really a nice or a great way to do it. Maybe try to use ball joints more so to, you know, cheat your way into having more points of articulation. Something to de-legendify the commanders a bit and make them, like I said, they feel to me more like enhanced Legends than diminished Scouts. And I think I would prefer diminished Scouts than enhanced Legends. That's just me though. Overall, I think Cyberverse is at the end of the day doing a really great job, and I am completely ready to go in on the Prime ones, because especially I think the best test of this was that Cyberverse was for Dark of the Moon as well. It was the third movie toy line, which was, you know, it took along with it the baggage of severe fatigue for longtime collectors like myself. And I was able to feel really rejuvenated into buying movie characters somewhat due to Cyberverse. I have my opinions on a lot of them. I think the Dreads were fantastic. I think the Wreckers generally kind of sucked, which was a disappointment. But it tried out a lot of cool
things. It seems
like
the Wreckers got that in everything.
You know, I like the Deluxe Wreckers. I think that's where they really won out, especially if they ever do a weaponized Roadbuster. I think that I'll like those. I like Topspin. And I like what I've seen of Leadfoot. Yeah, that would be nice too. But yeah, I think the worst Wreckers were the Cyberverse ones, which kind of sucks because, you know, Cyberverse inherently, it's low price point toys, but in the realm of low price point toys, standing those guys next to guys like the Dreads, it's kind of just like there's no contest. Specifically Crowbar. Anyway, Cyberverse, definitely going to be keeping my eye on it and sharing my thoughts on it as Prime goes on. Guys, I think this is a perfect time for an intermission space so that we can then come back and talk about capitalism and sales, and you guys will probably have some Black Friday stories that will be amazing and full of blood and violence and gore. Which one of you
I
killed
wasn't in
somebody?
California.
Anyway, we'll be back in a bit, and stay tuned through this.
12 a.m. still, hours still, morning. Been online since yesterday. Breath smells bad. I need coffee.
Five Budget Early Bird Special.
Not today.
It's Black Friday, Black Friday. Gotta go to Kohl's on Black Friday. Everybody's going there at midnight, midnight. Black Friday, Black Friday. Something that rhymes with Friday. But done, done, done. I'll be done with this list by the weekend.
Get $15 Kohl's cash for every 50 you spend. Open Thursday at midnight.
Can't get this darn song out.
Hey everybody, we're going to talk about toys we bought. Hopefully you bought some toys too, or you're going to feel left out. Let's start with Omegas. Omegas, what Transformers did you get this week?
Oh dear.
That's why I started with you, because you told us it would be an oh dear.
Yeah. Because I haven't had the chance to go looking for any Prime stuff. I've pretty much got just about everything from the movie, so... extremely light on Transformers, which, and by that I mean, recall when I said my Walmart was selling off a Legion class Cyberverse for like $2 a pop.
Mm-hmm.
Went down there.
Let's see where went this down, is going.
Yeah. No, I went down there thinking, okay, I'm just gonna sweep as many as I can fit into one cart. Got down there and looked. There's, like, only two I don't have.
Wah, wah.
So who did you end up buying for the sake of saying you bought something?
Well, you already railed on him, I think. One was Roadbuster.
Roadbuster is the best of the three, I think.
He looked like it. I mean, I've seen Topspin in the shelves, and that's the only place I want to see him.
He sucks. I think he's actually the worst new mold Cyberverse toy I've seen all year.
Yeah, he looked really, really bad.
Friggin' blows.
I don't know. Roadbuster is pretty much basic for a Cyberverse. Very simple transformation, very simple articulation. He has a flip down chainsaw, which automatically makes him far cooler.
How's the ball joint on yours? I wanted to know.
Oh, well, like, I mean, well, it's tight. I mean, it's position.
Mine is not tight. But maybe he heard what I was saying about the Wreckers, and so I just got one and was like, yeah, well, screw you!
You know, but he does add to that little bit of frustration of, why can't I get at least one set of Wreckers in any size that all look alike?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Because at least that Topspin might be a slightly forgivable if this was like the only size where they all match.
Yeah, and then Topspin is the one who breaks the chain too. It's like, not only does he suck as a toy, but he sucks as a member of the trio in Cyberverse.
Disappoint everybody, Topspin.
His deluxe is so good. I was gonna also ask you with Roadbuster. How do you feel about having a version of his vehicle mode that has all the guns on it with the weird kind of nose cone?
It is a little odd.
Hmm.
I think I've said it before on the deluxe top spin, but I would watch a lot more NASCAR if the cars look like this.
And did you get any other Cyberverse dudes, or was he the only one?
Did I not mention getting the only two that I didn't have?
I missed the word two.
Two. Yeah.
Can we do a Sesame Street segment about counting to two? That would make me really happy.
One, two. There, done.
Oh!
Shutting down the count.
No, the other one I got, since he came so highly recommended, was Crowbar.
Hey!
And that just, you know, during that little micro rant about the Cyberverse wreckers, you know, all I could say is, when you're talking about, you know, they're so disappointing when you put them next to Crowbar, and I'm looking at my desk where I have one next to Crowbar.
Oh, dear.
Trying to stifle a chuckle the entire time.
Do you think Crowbar is pretty good? Because I know that I'm... Not like my opinion on Crowbar is certainly not universally shared. There are people who don't really dig him.
I think the only thing lacking in him is I really wish the shoulders were ball jointed in a way that moved a little bit better than they do.
Yeah, me too.
They feel like they should be able to move out and they don't.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, besides that, I mean, this is kind of like the tricks they figured out in Animated that I wanted to see, you know, relayed a little bit more often, where they just really figured out how to use the kibble to unfold this, you know, really surprisingly good robot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm looking at I'm holding a Legends toy with 11 points of articulation.
Yeah.
This shouldn't be possible.
That's one of the things that are so cool about him, is, like, Crowbar, out of nowhere, just, like, becomes this thing that should not be, especially when you unfold his legs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Don't let the packaging fool you. He gets bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But he is a very worthy pickup. Like, I was upset because as soon as you kept going on about how good Crowbar was at the Cyberverse scale, I, like, you know, as opposed to the other scales he's in, which would be none.
Yeah.
As soon as you mentioned how good he was, I was like, well, I've seen him at Walmart forever. I might as well just go grab one, you know. Of course, he's not there. But for some reason, you know, just something smiled down where they, like, dug a few out of the back when they went down to $2 to put up there.
And for $2, that is a good toy for $2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, this is like your, you know, this is what you're talking about. Like, this is like Scout Minus. If this was upscaled for Cyberverse, or if they employed this more often on the Commander's class toys.
Hmm.
This style of transformation using the, you know, just all these joints that are utilized for the transformation that actually just end up making him such a more dynamic little robot. I would feel a lot better about, you know, paying scout prices for big legends.
Yeah. Now, Crowbar, I think, is definitely an example that I hope is taken and added upon for the Prime Cyberverse toys.
Definitely.
He and Flak both do things that I think are really fantastic.
Right. Just makes me upset that now I've got all the Cyberverse dreads except for the one with actual dreads.
Yeah.
That's the only one that wasn't there.
He's also kind of, if you mean Crankcase.
Yeah.
He's also he's kind of the most disappointing one. Although I actually do like Legion's Crankcases. He's a very legendy legend toy.
Legend.
But not in a really a bad way, just kinda like you get what you expect with
Right, Crankcase. Right. Well, you know, it also comes down to, you know, I've got two in this size class, go for all three. It's the instinct I would have had for the Wreckers if they actually looked alike.
Mm-hmm. And if they'd done the dreads in all the size classes.
Why is it when they come up with a nice group of Decepticons, the coolest and best designed one only gets a legend? Yeah. I was so upset at Scrapper's complete lack of toy support.
On Scrapper was a good design too. I liked him.
Oh yeah.
But that's pretty cool. And for $2, that's something anyone should do if they don't have, especially Crowbar. If you don't have like Crowbar and or Flak, and you see those guys for $2, just skip a Coke and get them, and then see what you think. Was that all you did for Transformers though? Were the
Unfortunately, couldn't go hunting for anything else.
That's okay. I know Aaron's got a lot to talk about, so I'm going to talk about what I got. There's a sale going on at Toys R Us here, and I'm going to take a moment to say that after really hoping I wouldn't, I totally saw all three Transformers Prime Deluxes on sale at a Toys R Us yesterday for $9 each, and went like,
I feel better now.
But I also saw the Transformers Prime Entertainment 2-pack on sale for 30% off, which changed its, basically after taxes, it changed the after tax price from a very unpalatable $50 to a very fair $35. I think that $35 after taxes for the entertainment pack is fine right now, because I really enjoy it. And it taught me a few things. It taught me that the San Diego Comic-Con Prime in the Matrix box is probably the worst convention toy we've gotten in a long time. Because it's not that his paint apps... The only paint app he has that's actually different from the entertainment pack are his chest windows, which are gray instead of blue. Every other difference isn't a different paint app. It's a missing paint app. He's missing multiple silver and yellow paint apps. In fact, he has the San Diego Comic-Con Prime has no yellow that I can recall being on him. I have him in a box right now. I had him out here.
No,
earlier.
He doesn't. I've got him right here, and there's not.
The 2-pack Prime has yellow on the two front headlights of the truck mode and on the four little headlights across his chest windows, or at least across the windows in truck mode. So okay. he has six yellow paint apps over the San Diego one, and the 2-pack one has a silver stripe on the roof of the car mode, like on the heel spurs, that is not on the San Diego one, and the 2-pack one has a silver paint app, I think actually one or two silver paint apps, at least one on the forehead in silver, on his head, that the San Diego one doesn't have. So the San Diego Comic-Con Prime is like a lower quality version of the entertainment pack one. It is in fact legitimately worse than the entertainment pack one, which is like, wow. So the only reason,
I'm not sure if that's a yay or a boo.
The only reason to get the San Diego one is for the Matrix box. That's the only reason it exists. Or if you don't like blue on chest windows.
Are the blasters the same? Can I pretend
the blasters are the same.
Okay, cool. So you can have two blasters. Awesome. I'm happy.
Yeah. There you go. There's a reason to get that one. But yeah, it was really funny when I was holding him up, and then I never noticed the yellow on any photos of the entertainment pack one. In fact, I don't believe it's on the promo pics, or at least either the yellow or the silver stripe on the, or not stripe, but the silver kind of U on the roof. I hadn't seen in promo pics, and I realized, I was like, wow, the entertainment pack Prime is literally better, almost objectively, than the San Diego one. That aside, the kids, I believe were decent. Like I said before, I was okay with the Jack and the Raph from the New York set. And guess what? Miko is pretty much as good as they are. And I think that the thing that really helps them is they do have quite a bit of paint done on them, which I believe might have driven the price up a bit, but it helps them be useful things for your display. Like, they really look like the three kids. And I kind of dig that.
Okay.
Megatron is awesome! I really like Deluxe Megatron. Here's the main reason why I like him. His transformation is just as surprisingly involved as Deluxe Prime. You know how Deluxe Prime did way more than one might expect?
Yeah.
Like, with things like the way his legs do stuff? Megatron does as well. And the really cool thing is basically Megatron peels open in every way. His torso peels open and butterflies open, and each of his legs butterfly open. And the really cool part is that everything tabs into place. Everything has a place to lock in. So he forms this Cybertronian jet that is really solid. And it even has the whole thing of being like this giant, like, demonic-looking wing. And then there's a bit of a stem on the front and then, like, a spiny bulb as a cockpit. It's really cool. This is not even a downside, but the only thing that I'm sure a lot of people won't like is that his head is exposed. but it is by intention. And there's a piece that clamps down over top of it, so it's really just his head from his eyes up. So, like, his eyes, his eyebrows, and the top of his helmet are poking up through a little dome-shaped hole. And if you were to get a dome-shaped piece of plastic, which I think a third-party company should totally just make, you could just glue it down on top of that hole in the piece that folds down over his head, and his head would be covered. The robot mode is fine. And in fact, it's just a touch shorter than Starscream's robot mode, but the vehicle mode, the Cybertronian jet, is huge. It's way bigger than Starscream's jet mode, which is a really cool thing to look at, like just the mass shifting that happens. And it looks pretty accurate to me, like for the few times we've seen Megatron's jet mode for a few seconds. And like I said, I think the transformation is really great because it's like a movie one Megatron transformation, but done right. And the best okay. part is everything locks in. Everything tabs in. It's so nice. I'm really happy to have that Megatron. Is he worth the entire cost of the entertainment pack? No, he's not. He's a really good deluxe, but don't pay like $35 just to get him. Ideally, get it so you have him and the Prime. And if you have the San Diego Prime, get it so you have him and a Prime with two guns. Worst case, maybe that Megatron will get some kind of really cool Japanese single release. I know he's coming out in the Japanese Prime line on his own, but promo pics have not shown anything new on him. Hopefully that will change. I think he's really well done. It's also really nice to see because in our last entertainment style 2-pack from Animated, the Optimus was fine, but the Megatron was such a forgettable toy. And this Megatron, I think, is very memorable. The head sculpt too is really nice. It's totally Prime Megatron, just baring his teeth, going like, "I'm crazy and full of dark Energon." And the DVD is Masters and Students, and I haven't even opened it because I don't really need to watch that right now. So I really like the entertainment pack when it's on sale, and the Megatron is great. If you don't want to buy the Megatron, reasons to not buy him are if you just don't like Cybertronian vehicle modes. Or if you don't want a small Megatron toy, those are two reasons not to buy him. But if you're worried about the transformation, I think it's a fantastic one. Just don't rely on the instructions. I didn't even look at them, but I heard that they leave out very important parts. Just kind of logic it out. Just remember, every tab you see has a slot corresponding to it. And yeah. it took me like, I messed with him for about half an hour, didn't even look at the instructions. And it took me a little while, but I figured out where everything went. And it was so satisfying. Once it all
that's something I noticed the tabs having places everywhere on was filling with the Prime
yeah
earlier today, and I was like, okay, it'd been a little bit and it fell right back in place just putting two and two together.
Yeah, and Megatron is like that, but even more so because his vehicle mode is so much more abstract. Having all those tabs really helps make it clear what he's supposed to turn into. And I love how his vehicle mode is so large for a deluxe vehicle. Like, it's kind of like, you know how Generation Scourge has a kind of large vehicle mode?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that. Like, it's surprising how big it becomes. So, okay. Very much recommending that deluxe Megatron if you can get him somehow in a way that is palatable to you. Just don't overpay for him. And if you don't have either of them, then get the entertainment pack if you can find it for, I guess in the States, if you can ever find it for 25 to 30, totally do it. That's all I got as far as Transformers go. So, Aaron, you primed up, I believe.
Yeah, I did. I got all three of the Prime Deluxes for myself and also for Gerardimus. That's Gog told the story of me getting these toys, basically. Last go round. As I tweeted, I like my black and blue RC better than I like the pink and white RC. What I suspected did come true. The darker colors fill out that mold better. I don't know if fill out's necessarily, but it just looks better. There are a lot of things in the white and pink that are kind of stark that the black and blue does much better. Plus, I think having the pink highlights in there makes it pop a bit more.
Yeah, and it's
then the silver on the pink, because it's just become such a everything's light that there's no contrast in there.
And it's a colder palette, and
yeah,
for my personal like cold taste, palettes. Oh, it's such a nice cold palette. Such a nice.
But you know, the my biggest issue that I had with RC and the New York set was the pink on the blue, translucent plastic, and or transparent plastic, and I mean the dark blue on the other blue, like I said, I thought was going to look much better. Actually, looks much better. So, still has the big goofy arm, leg, blade things that are hidden back behind.
I've fallen out of love with those things. I was actually really okay with those, and then I guess it was kind of like getting the blue one made me go like, wow, these things are really dumb. I don't like them.
Yeah. Yeah. The other one that I already had that I got again, of course, is Bumblebee. I think I like the orange Bumblebee better. Mm-hmm. Even though that's the one that's busted, it just seems like I guess all the Bumblebees we've been getting lately have been the more orangish color than the yellow.
It's a very movie
that Prime does.
Very movie yellow.
It's a movie that slightly orangish color, but I think it looks a whole lot better than just the yellow. The yellow almost looks like it's faded on the standard retail release.
You know, I was talking to Chris GM Fan 101 came by here the other day, and we were talking about that Bumblebee. And cause I really warmed up to that Bumblebee toy, and I even warmed up to the regular deluxe release. And I was talking to him, and we figured out why. Because that deluxe Bumblebee, even though his yellow plastic is really bright yellow plastic, it's not as translucent as bright yellow Bumblebee plastics have been in past. A really easy example being the first deluxe animated Bumblebee.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I kind of like it, because it is really bright yellow. I don't really like yellow, but between that and the black apps and the yellow plastic being a strong yellow, I ended up actually kind of warming up to it. But I don't know.
It just seems to me like that yellow in some places still has, is translucent, where like on the shoulders, some of those parts that are thinner, it just seems like it gets washed out.
Yeah.
Because it is such a light yellow color, and I just like the orange better. The orange with a little bit more black on it, to me, seems to be a better contrast. And you're wrong, so.
Well, you don't like E-Hobby Rodimus, so
yeah.
I think that...
So that shows again where you're wrong.
I think everyone can see who has the stranger tastes among us here.
But, so then the third and final, and the one that's actually... Yeah. Anyway, I'm walking right past it to talk about toys I like and I got in hand. Starscream as the third one that I really feel like I can bust down and talk about, because I've not talked about the mold before. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Holy crap. This, of the three deluxes, is my favorite.
He's a deluxe that no one should skip. GOG made a tweet, which I think really bears repeating. Anyone who's thinking of skipping that deluxe Starscream in anticipation of the Voyager one, don't skip it.
Yes.
That is an important toy. It doesn't matter if there's another version of him coming out. As a deluxe Transformer, that Starscream is an important toy.
Great. Even if you miss his ab joint to have him hunching. Mm-hmm. Because you can transform him really both ways, and it does lock in relatively well to have him upright. You have to like flip his head back, take apart part of his spine, but it will still, I don't know if it's actually clicking together or just holding together very well, but you can have him with a very upright carriage or with a hunched over carriage. And both of them are very good. He does a good job of kind of exploding outwards and then coming back together between his jet mode and his robot mode, helped by like the slider joint in his arm that then you can kind of break a little bit of how it sits to even give him the like hand on the chin without doing anything weird. You just pop that slide and there he's stroking his chin nefariously.
Yeah, he's really well designed. I think, personally, easily the best of the three.
Yeah. The only issue I had is because of the way that his soft plastic crest kind of compacts back a little bit. Mm-hmm. I guess there's a clearance issue for transformation. Mine ended up compacted way far back, and so he has like a little swoop in the middle of the crest where it looks like he's got some like a pompadour going on.
Oh, yeah, I got that on mine, too, because mine was packaged with the head kind of crammed in.
Yeah.
I think that might be a sadly common problem if you hear about it any further.
Well, I kind of had the same issue with his knee fins. One of them is bent inwards, and I've done the hot water trick and almost gotten it all straightened out. But yeah. And then his missiles are a mess. Both missile packs, all three of the points of the missiles all kind of converge.
Oh, mine were okay. Together.
Yeah.
I guess I lucked out on that one.
And I did do the pro tip of taking the red Sharpie and did up the missile tips for some color, and then Starscream's head crest. I need to do another coat on Starscream's head crest, but it feels like it's a missing paint app, but I know that they can't really put paint on the soft plastic stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to stick. And having somebody individually put Sharpie on or whatever would be permeable would probably be cost prohibitive. So
and I
can understand,
if
but for
Sharpie
anybody that's listening,
eventually...
it's an easy fix.
I wonder if the Sharpie will eventually start fading too, like, because it's not a chemical you regularly apply to that plastic.
Yeah, the thing is, though, that's easy enough of a fix for anybody that's going to be listening to this podcast. You know, you go out, you get yourself a red Sharpie for a buck, and you can glam him up quite a bit.
And then worst case, if it starts fading, do the Sharpie again.
Yeah. He's got, it's just, the places where he needs posability, he has great posability. I mean, his head, the way that the ball joint is for his head and the fact that he has nothing else around his noggin, he can look almost straight up, twist his head to turn and look over his shoulder relatively well. He can pull off a lot of poses, and it's always amazing how that one good ball jointed head can do so much for posing, and you can take one pose and have it look like, haha, you can have him kind of, you know, just tilt the head a little bit, and it's like, oh no, you caught me. Amazing how one point of articulation done so well can change this character. And it's a bunch of those little one bit here, one bit there that makes Starscream a very good pickup. I'd still probably say if you only got the money for one when you first see him, get RC, because it's not like she's a stinker. Because we know that she's going to be so short packed anyway.
And oh, then, definitely, yeah. Make sure, I would tell people, prioritize RC and Starscream.
Yes.
If you see either of them, get them on site. If you see both, just try to get them both. If you really have to choose, then logically RC is more rare and thus a better choice. But
yeah,
I feel Starscream is a better toy because RC does have two weaknesses. One of them is a bit of a haha whatever, which is her scale. She is right down to her head even being larger than the other toys' heads. She looks like she was given a diagonal drag box inflation job in Photoshop.
Yeah.
And also those arm blades are real dumb. So she's got two citable cons, really insignificant in the bigger picture, but those are two problems that Starscream doesn't have, and Starscream's main problems really are just he's got bendy plastic on places that you might have to rebend, and there's kind of an undercarriage on his jet mode, but certainly not enough.
And that's the great thing is it's not even, I mean, he does such a good job of double working things. So the pegs that end up on the back of his arms become the tail of the jet, and it's looking at it as the jet. You can't tell that that's something that's going to get reused.
Yeah.
You know, he has things, you know, after you've messed with the toy, you're like, oh, okay, this is that and that is this, but the way that his whole spine folds up, it's like a three-part angle bit that makes the kind of the spine of the jet as well. But it's not like you can see that from one way or the other.
He's
you know,
really
and he's
smart.
And he's got that
in his design.
He's got that joint right there. That wonderful waist joint.
Yeah.
It's making a wonderful spike.
Stop taunting Omegas.
Yeah.
Just gonna sob in a corner now.
Yeah. But he's definitely the one that I got most excited over out of this set.
I'm really glad that I got, like, I feel really fortunate that I got to mess with that one at TFCon.
Yeah.
Before the others, because that was a great way to get pumped for the Prime line.
Also did pick up Cyberverse Legion.
Oh.
Found myself a Flak.
How you liking Flak?
I feel bad that I had skipped on so many other Legions, and this is going to have me on the lookout for more of them as my emergency toys, not having to go and look for deluxes or something and be all, it's got to be a bigger toy, because he is a good little $3 toy. My Walmart didn't have the crazy, crazy sale. It just had a slightly crazy sale. And for as little as they cost, it's a whole lot of toy. And this is something that I'm thinking about just getting on Moss and dropping into the Toys for Tots bin.
Sure.
Because they're stupid cheap and awesome little toys that are little and fun. And I think I might do that. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. The Cyberverse toys they really succeeded at a mission statement that, you know, very, not a very collector oriented one, but they really just succeeded at what they were doing, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, you know, I sit there and kind of think of, you know, he's got, you know, a decent amount of shoulder articulation. The biggest issue I have with him is his legs are blocked,
mm-hmm.
where he's got ball jointed hips, but because of the way that everything else is that hangs around it, he only has maybe 20 degrees of travel for a ball joint. But otherwise, I mean, he great looking little character. It'll be something to fill up with Legions. Maybe he's Guzzle's little buddy. Yeah.
That's everything I've heard. That's how people generally are treating that figure. Is
there, standing next to Guzzle. He's like, I'm going to be like you with my gun pointed up in the air, not at people, because that would be silly. Why would I point my big gun at people?
He is a Guzzle pal.
Yep. But that is it for me for Transformers.
All right, that's it for all of us for Transformers, then. I guess we can go before that, I just want to mention, I recently busted out my Reveal the Shield G2 Prime and my United G2 Prime, and I forgot about this thing. Anyone out there has any ideas? My United G2 Prime, because basically, the United toy line went out of its way to not be fun for me, in that every United toy I have bought has had a major, major, major quality control problem. Because I guess it heard all the smack talk I was dropping on Henkei or something. You know, on G2 Prime, that piece that folds down off his back.
Okay.
That part that kind of folds into a little backpack form, and it turns into the gas canisters in his truck mode. On my United one, there is some blockage in there that means this thing doesn't fold down all the way. It folds down, so it's like, instead of folding down 90 degrees, it folds down like 80 degrees.
Okay.
And I can't tell what the blockage is at all. I'm thinking of just exactoing the hell out of the joint.
Yeah, the fix for that is you get a blowtorch, okay?
All right.
And you burn it. And then you go, ha, I should have bought the cheaper one.
I got the cheaper one, too.
Oh.
But the United colors are actually nicer on this thing. Anyway, I've been trying to fix it for ages, and I don't know what to do. So, if anyone has any ideas, let me know. Or if anyone has had this problem, let me know. I want to know if maybe this wasn't just the United toy line, much like with my Scourge, going like, yeah, well, screw you! For those who don't recall, I got United Scourge, and aside from the fact that his metallic paint kind of sucks, mine was literally missing an entire screw in his arm. So
I'm all for the yeah, screw you idea. It yeah. just seems better viscerally.
The United toy line just coming at me. Wants a piece. Anyway, let's go off topic. I'm going to start. I got a new bed. I got a 9-inch thick futon, big double frame. It's about 54 by 79. Takes up a third of my room, but it's so much better than that dinky piece of crap IKEA bed I was sleeping on. And, you know, I had a little bit of trouble. I had to sleep one night with just the mattress on the floor, and that was still really nice. And now it's raised up like almost a full, like over a foot off the ground, and there's space underneath this. I have a real bed, guys. I have a real bed, and it's big and it's thick, and I can just, makes me fall asleep at 4 in the afternoon.
Congratulations.
Oh, so happy about this. East-West futon is where I went. There were some problems. The first time they delivered it, the 2x4s The distance between the pre-drilled holes, they were pre-drilled too close together. Had to get that replaced, but it was worth it when they got it put together. So worth it. There's nothing better than having a good bed, I've realized. It's like one of the best things in the world. So if you don't have a good bed, get yourself a good bed. Anyway, that's all I got this week. pretty sure. Yeah, that is all I got this week. Omegas, what did you get this week that was not Transformers?
Something that was not Transformers? No. I did get this one little thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I decided it was time to stop using a 2.5-year-old camcorder to do all of my crap.
Hooray!
Actually, this was on my Christmas list. And parental units decided to be awesome and not make me wait a whole month to actually apply it. So I currently hold in my hands my first HD camcorder.
What kind of camera is it?
This is a Canon Vixia HFR21.
Ooh, with it being Canon, I forgot if it was Canon or Kodak, where there's a thing where it's kind of, you have to run like some middleware to get the footage to be pleasant. Have you had any trouble with that, or has it been pretty clean?
I can transfer footage right off of it without having to, you know, it comes with a little bit of middleware to get it off the camera.
Oh, sweet, sweet.
Which is entirely optional. It just means you don't have to poke through folders to find it.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm running into a little bit of a problem with it because apparently the camera's footage is too good for my computer. Because, you know, it's full HD.
Oh, is that what your questioning was about on Twitter?
That's what the questioning was on Twitter, because it's 1080, 60 frames per second.
Yeah.
And the onboard graphics card that I don't PC game, so I never felt the need to replace, can't quite process it all.
How long have you had the graphics card for?
It's since I got the computer, like, it's just the onboard that came with it.
Oh, it's like a couple years old too.
Yeah. So.
you'll need to upgrade that to get, even if you're going like in lower resolution, your render times will probably get much nicer if you upgrade some stuff.
Oh yeah, I've got no doubt. Like I'm probably going out this weekend to pick up a card for it.
Awesome.
You know, because I literally like. I've done this long enough to realize that it's better to watch the waveform when you edit than it is the actual video.
Mm-hmm.
And I started clicking in my head, you know, I joked to myself, like, I could probably edit this just by looking at the audio.
Hmm.
Well, the first video I shot for this thing, that's exactly what I had to do. Because the footage was so big, I couldn't get it to play on the little preview window.
That's kind of funny. Yeah, well, I hope you can get that sorted out and get the machine matched up to the camera.
Yeah, that's one reason why I was so hesitant to upgrade, because I kind of felt like it was going to just lead to a chain of expensive upgrading.
Oh, and it will.
Eesh.
Now you got to get more RAM.
Yeah.
Then, well, all that RAM won't fit in the motherboard, so you got to get a new motherboard. Well, then if you're getting a new motherboard, might as well get yourself a high-end processor, and well, now that video card I just got looks really lame against that processor, so gotta get a new video card. Well, now the motherboard's a little bit behind, and
so basically owning a PC.
Yeah,
that's pretty much how it's gone. Like somewhere in my head I've already spent like a few $100 on all the upgrades I want, because you know, this is the kind of camera I'd put a shotgun mic on. You know, mm-hmm. It's got two ports for an SD expansion cards. You know, that, like, one would be fine. Two is just tempting me.
Stuff it full of memory.
I want to cram cards into this thing.
Leave it running overnight. Film, like, 10 hours of yourself sleeping.
See if we can't track down the source of that sleep apnea. ended up picking up a 750 gig to clear some space for all the HD footage as well. So,
oh yes, welcome to that new world too.
Yeah. So this, you know, this is where it comes from. Okay, I've got to drop cash for an external drive. I got to drop cash for the card. Now there's a shotgun mic. I probably need a few new lights for the camcorder. I could do with a new tripod. I need new memory cards. The battery life is crap on this. I need like two or three more for conventions. I need help.
You got to get those big extended batteries too, not just the crappy ones.
Yep. And then you got to get a steady cam so you can be the guy with the steady cam. That's really cool though. So for a microphone, sorry, I don't mean to keep asking tech details. Does it just have like a mini in jack, or does it have an audio jack?
Yeah, it's got an audio jack. I made sure it had one of those.
And is it just like a mini jack, like a headphone jack style?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, then you could probably just get like a more inexpensive shotgun mic and slot it in there.
Well, the hard part is I haven't seen anything I would consider inexpensive that's actually come out to be reliable as well. Every one I've ever looked at seems like they break after two uses.
That's why I guess it helps that I have a Sony, and Sony is all like, you want a mini audio jack? Screw you. Get our Sony branded shotgun mic. And so I just went with getting a completely separate audio device. Which is actually a little bit more like what you might need to do later on in life. But at the same time, it kind of sucks. The bright side is if you have a mini jack, you can always make a shotgun mic kind of by getting a regular microphone that uses a mini jack or, you know, a dynamic mic, like a cardioid that uses a mini jack or has an adapter for it, and then just tape it to the top of the camera. That's not really a shotgun anymore, but...
No. You lose something in that process, I feel. Actually, my friend Garrett recommended something to me, because I met him during ShadowCon, and his camera had this like, badass shotgun mic attached to it. Mm. So, it'll take a little bit of setting aside dimes and nickels here and there to get it, but...
It seems like the important thing would be like just don't get too good a shotgun mic if your interface is still a mini jack.
Right.
You will have a ceiling on how good the quality will be. So don't...
Yeah, well he did have the same type of camcorder, and in his videos, it's beautiful audio.
Yeah, so
it's something
it's something I learned back when I was still using a mini jack for a microphone, was like there is an upper limit with a mini jack, and then there's another upper limit with a quarter inch. And then you hit the point of like, wow, I wish my camera just had an XLR in. And then you go and look up how much cameras with direct XLR ins cost. You're like, oh, I'll just buy a separate audio device because that's actually cheaper. At least in my limited experience. I'm sure someone listening out there who actually has knowledge about this is like, you just have to get this model. It's only 1.5K and it has an XLR in, you fool. Why'd you buy that Zoom H4n, you dingus? Anyway.
So yeah, basically I'm out of the Stone Age now.
Welcome. I'm actually just, I think I've mentioned this before, but one of the reasons why I moved is this diploma program I'm taking. We've been doing a whole lot of stuff about sound, so I know a lot more about filming audio equipment than I did before. So I'm kind of excited to discuss it on a recorded medium. aside from the camera and its associated current and future purchases, did you get anything else this week?
No, that pretty much did me in.
You mean you bought a camera but you couldn't afford like a complete selection Kamen Rider belt or something like that? Well, small time. That's really cool though. I hope you enjoy the camera and play with its settings. It must have all kinds of fun stuff like aperture and exposure and whatnot.
Oh, of course. It's a whole new world to explore now.
Oh, it's so fun when you have manual control on that stuff.
Oh.
Makes you realize what the old 480 camera that you were using was, at least in my case, the old 480 camera was like, oh man, I don't have to rely on autofocus and auto white balance and auto exposure.
Oh my god, the auto white balance killed me.
Auto white balance is such a dick.
Auto white balance is the reason I changed Plastic Addict's format. Just screw this white background. It's killing me.
Yeah, auto white balance takes cameras that can look okay and makes them look worse, I find, because auto white balance means you have to use really good lighting. And you still have to use really good lighting, but I find that if, like, even if I just have, like, a couple extra presets, I can at least BS my way out of lighting situations.
Right.
If I haven't got lights handy, but I have a reason to film something. This is, Aaron, you sound hideously interested in what we're talking about.
Yeah. Terribly.
Anyway.
Still awake? Honestly.
Like, I had no part of the BotCon discussion.
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah, that's true.
And hey, maybe this is helping out people who want to know about equipment for things. I don't know. Anyway, let's close this one out by asking Aaron what he got that wasn't Transformers.
All right. Kind of rolls with what you were talking about. Finally had my 3-terabyte drive show up. Woo. So now I'm up to like 11 or 12 terabytes of storage on the network.
Now you have all of television on your computer.
Not all of it, but getting there. it's just like, you know, it's the way it is today. You know, I have somebody say, hey, have you seen whatever show? And I'm like, no, that sounds interesting. And I'll go and I'll download a season of it to decide if I want to watch it, because a lot of shows, you know, don't get off the ground in the pilot episode or whatever. And, you know, a lot of times that's all you get to see, or, you know, you're 3 months later and you're like, oh, I'd really like to see it. And you come in and you're in the middle of something like, what? But I talked that talk before. Got it actually for $100 on the Monday before Black Friday. I was able to get onto BestBuy.com as a Silver Premier member, which means I spend way too much money at Best Buy. And
no commissions.
Got their Black Friday deals earlier than having to go and be crazy at the store. And the only thing is I had to wait like a week and a half for it. But beyond that, what else? So before the last show that we did, I had sent out a tweet that said, hey, on a caffeine run before the podcast, LOL, just because I had run out of soda. And then I get a follower on Twitter and a message of, we'd like you to try our new product, Zoom Water. It's caffeinated water. And I was slightly mind blown for a little bit and then said, okay. And so I got 3 half liter bottles of Zoom Water, and it's water that has caffeine in it. And it doesn't taste like anything but water, which is, I guess, what they're going for. So
it's kind of spooky, because that means you're basically able to caffeinate yourself without realizing it, I think. That sounds
You know, it's not like, you know, when you're drinking your, how do they put it, your chemical factories in a can.
Yeah.
You know, you have the sweet taste, whatever, but this was just water. And I've seen people that have made, like, coffee with this and get...
Oh, God.
Double kick.
Oh, no.
Don't do that!
No. I tried one bottle of it, and it was, like I said, it was just water. Like any other bottle of water I'd be pulling out of the fridge. Unfortunately, my body runs on enough caffeine anyway that I wasn't able to tell, oh, hey, this is getting me super caffeinated, blah, 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 blah. I was just like, all right, it's water.
So are you going to drop a brought to you by Zoom Water, or are you going to just say whatever, Zoom Water?
No, I do the little bit of a spiel. They're available on Amazon. You got to buy like a 24-pack at this point.
I want to buy a 24-pack.
Since they're just into their production, whatever, I got like a packet of stuff that
wasn't the specific tweet something like, why don't you let your podcast be driven by Zoom Water or something like that?
No, why don't you have your next podcast be fueled by Zoom Water?
Fueled by, that was the word. Yeah, I was trying to something remember like what the verb was. That was,
but it was for that I was like, okay, I'll try it and I'll give them their little plug of, hey, it's water that's caffeinated at $2 a bottle. So,
and this is where someone on the podcast listenership who used to work for them goes like, you fool, don't you know what they put in that?
Yeah.
Made of but people.
Apparently that's a special mix because other caffeines can bring in tastes. And like I said, that's tastes like spring water.
I guess if you want to stealth caffeine yourself, there's a way to go. Or you can be a psychopath and make coffee with it.
I did see a review where they made pizza dough with it, and then they had caffeinated pizza. I don't know.
I don't know what the caffeine is going to do through a baking process.
I don't like the idea of stealth caffeine like this, where you're like, no. Oh, I'm going to come. Like, what if I want to eat a pizza in a food coma? Like, what if it's like 8 o'clock and I'm like, I got to get to bed by 10. I'm going to go out and I'm going to go eat a big ass pizza at the pizza joint. You go there, eat half a pizza, take the rest home. You're like, oh, it's time to food coma. You lie down, then your eyes just snap open with like bloodshot pulsing veins. You're like, I really want to learn the ukulele right now. And
see, that's where you need to be like me and have had years of caffeinating your body so that it takes a tremendous peak in order to get to you. What else? Got a pocket full of brass from the shooting range.
Nice.
Went out for my brother's birthday, actually. It's been a while since our family may have an arsenal or so of firearms. It had been a while since we'd been out to the range, so we went out and we shot everything from a 22 pistol, which is a very small cartridge, up to a 4.44 Marlin, which is a hog round and a deer round. And the equivalent of shooting that was, how did we end up putting it, like getting hit in the shoulder with a baseball bat.
Oh, wow. I was going to say, for a pig round, does that mean it's to blow up pig heads or whatever?
Like if you're going wild boar hunting.
Oh, those things are large.
Yeah. So, I mean, everything else that we'd been shooting, we did a bunch of pistol rounds. Stepdad had a couple of new toys that he wanted to show off that were concealed carry pistols that are nice, easy, smooth action, nice, fun thing to shoot. And then we went from there to some of the rifles that we had. We had some of my great-grandfather's rifles from when he was in the military that we've gotten them repaired, and it's hard to find some of the parts for it, and it was more like, hey, this is a heritage thing. You know, great-granddad had to hump this 45 pounds of furniture across Germany, and that was neat. And then we went to AR-15, which is Colt AR-15, which is the original manufacturer, which has virtually no recoil. You can actually shoot it from the hip, and it doesn't recoil. And then my uncle hands me this, and it was a lever-action rifle. So I see lever-action, and it looks honestly like a BB gun that just sideloads these huge cartridges for. And my brain went, oh, it looks like a BB gun. And so I didn't set it as well as I would if I knew that this thing was going to kick the way that it did.
Yeah.
And I shot it once and then kind of groaned and then laughed maniacally and then shot the other two rounds that were in it. My brother comes over. He's like, yeah, okay, whatever. And then he shot it and then laughed maniacally and worked his shoulder a little bit and then did the same thing. But it was a lot of fun getting to go out and do that. It's been a while since I've done that.
What you're saying is, don't screw with you at BotCon because you're going to shoot a fool.
Yeah, because as the scary joke is, I have a family that has arsenals of weapons and lots of farmland. Is there an implicit threat in there, or is that good enough?
Start doing some people hunting.
Yeah.
Seed the land.
Only three of those weapons had laser sights on them.
Oh, only three. Okay.
Which there is something interesting about drawing a dot on a paper target and then pulling a trigger and seeing a hole where there was a dot. But and
people say that they're, you know, people always talk about being frightened of Americans. There's no reason to be frightened because they're shooting paper, not people.
Yeah, the biggest thing that I always say whenever, and we did have my little brother's girlfriend was out there shooting for the first time, and she shot everything up to that 4.44 Marlin. And she was initially afraid of firearms, but the thing is, it's like any other tool. You respect the tool, you treat it right, and you're okay. You don't go around swinging a hammer around and, you know, hitting things that ought not be hit with it. With a firearm, you always treat it as if it's loaded. Even though I know that this thing has an 8-round clip, I pulled the trigger 8 times, it is open. You still don't point it at somebody. You point it at the ground, you point it at the sky, you point it downrange. And whenever you go to hand it to somebody, you show them, hey, this is unloaded. You know, it has no magazine in it. The slide is back. And then you still treat it like that. You know, there's no way this thing could shoot you, but you still treat it like it could shoot you and you're safe. And
that's how I treat knives in the kitchen. I treat them like they can.
That's the way to treat a knife. You always treat the knife like it's about ready to get you, and then you don't cut yourself.
Like, here's a pro tip. When you're wandering the kitchen, don't wander around the kitchen carrying a knife by the handle.
No.
I always carry a knife by the blade. By the top flat part of the blade, lower down and away from people.
Yep.
Hand it to people holding the blade.
Yep. But had a load of fun. If it's something that is legal for you to do in your area, I would say, hey, it's not a bad idea to go and learn how to be responsible with that sort of thing. And you'd be amazed at how it's not some sort of evil device that is only existing to murder people and blow faces up. It's just another tool.
You know what? You can do really nasty things to people with kitchen knives.
Yeah, you could do really nasty things to people with a microphone.
With a staple gun.
This microphone. That microphone stand that I bring?
Yep.
That's a weighty thing. You could bludgeon someone very easily with that.
You know those staplers that people use to put staples through the middle of collections of forms? You could probably put one of those against somebody's chest, just pull the staple. Wouldn't be pleasant.
Yeah. Except for doing that's making my eye twitch. Thanks.
Like, that's something that I did to somebody.
Thanks.
He had it coming, the bastard!
Yeah. I know where there's plenty of farmland. Never find you.
We'll seed the land with the sands of your sand.
But yeah, so I did do the one thing I'd not done before, or I guess I did do before, was I kept one piece of brass from each round that I shot, and so that's going to be a different kind of macabre collection.
You know, serial killers generally keep trophies. I learned that from Dexter.
Yep.
So you're going to just go in and you're going to like fish around in their brain like, oh, here's the shell. Write their name on it.
No, not the bullet, the shell.
Oh.
The brass part that holds the bullet and the powder and the primer.
Do you wipe it against the wound in their forehead to get some of their blood on it so you remember who it is?
No.
Oh. I like the single unqualifying just no. Nothing to support it, just no.
That would be creepy and leave evidence.
Well, not if you do it right. You gotta watch more Dexter, man.
I do watch Dexter. I'm up to the last episode.
How many times
has he almost been caught?
But that's the thing. You gotta be a Dexter. You gotta not get caught. You almost get caught. That's part of the thrill. I'm actually in the midst of season 5. No one spoil it for me. In fact, this podcast probably won't even be edited until I've finished season 5. So
okay, mind. You know what? Dexter kills people.
God damn it! Anyway, did you get anything else this week?
No. Aside from the thing that took most of my budget was a trip to the vet for the two dogs. Hmm. But yay, it's not cancer.
Hooray!
Have a dog that has some fatty masses on him. Andy, the one that is the evil smart dog, had some large fatty masses, and I was getting real nervous about them, so we checked them out, and they're just fat. Just little fat pockets.
And you can just go like, hey, you're fat.
Yeah. I threaten him that he should be on a diet, then he looks at me with the puppy dog eyes, the trademark puppy dog eyes, that they're like the original puppy dog eyes. Mm-hmm. And I just like, oh, okay, here's a milk bone.
Patent no longer pending, puppy dog guys.
Yeah. No. He still holds the patent. He gets rights.
Yeah, no longer pending.
Yeah.
It's full on.
Yeah.
Patented.
But, and then the other dog does have arthritis. So, yay, meds. But that's off topic of off topic.
Hey, there are dog owners out there.
Yeah.
They'll be able to sympathize. My dog has arthritis too.
Post in the thread if you're a dog person and not an evil cat person.
Ooh.
Oh no!
Calling that's right. Out I went the cat there. People.
Yep.
I want no part of this. That was all Aaron just now. I have nothing to do with it. You guys have grievances. Take them up with Axsmith on Twitter. There you go.
Bring it.
Well, if that's all that we got this week, then that is our episode for this week. I hope that you guys enjoyed it. I had some fun recording it. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail. We do have a Google voice box you can leave your voice in. The number is area code 318-775-9830. That's 318-775-9830. 318-775-9830.
Why don't you ever go the WTF zero route? That's why it's 938.
I've said that millions of times. Were you
no,
not...
you always give the 9830.
I have said the WTF zero way more times than
Prove
you're
it.
Giving me credit for.
Prove
I'm
it.
Sure one of our WTF at TFW historians can go back and listen to every single time we've ever done a voicemail advert and then say for me.
Give
how
me the breakdown
times...
between 9830s and WTF zeros.
Write us the chart, and we'll buy ourselves a toy and think about you.
I won't. I'll buy a toy.
No,
and think
no,
about,
yeah.
Think
we'll,
about
we'll do.
Enjoy
we'll
the
we'll
toy.
Buy the toys and we'll do a giveaway contest where if you can do our trigonomic questions and answer a few bits of trivia about Kamen Rider, you could win a Dark of the Moon Mudflap. I don't know.
Sure. Wait, Dark of the Moon or Revenge of the Fallen?
Dark of the Moon. I'm going to give him a new mold.
Oh.
I still, you know what? One day I'm going to end up picking up the Dark of the Moon twins because they are new molds and I kind of need to know what they're like. But I don't even want to pay $9 for
but
them.
But not that much.
They don't look very satisfying. Yeah.
I might go into that just because there's another little clearance deal where it's like, there's still a few deluxes I'm missing, and they're two packing them now.
Oh yeah, and one of those two packs is Mudflap and Nitro Bumblebee. I might go for that. I don't know.
Totally should.
I need to know what Nitro Bumblebee is like, and
it's good. Nitro Bumblebee is a buy.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
very good.
I just wish he wasn't yellow. And I said this before, and I was hoping they do another one, but I think with Robots in Disguise coming up, chances of that are getting lower. I think I might just get Nitro Bumblebee if I see him on sale for like $5 or in that 2-pack deal. He's $10 at Walmart on rollback right now, but I don't want to pay $10. I want to pay less. Cheap. Anyway, thank you all for listening, ladies and gentlemen. This has been WTF for TFW. That's been myself, Aaron, and Omegas. We'll be back, and we'll talk to you again, because that's what we do. That is who we are. That is our identity right now. I'm gonna go with that.
Add all that up, I don't know what the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators, and they're here to stay.